This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann.
I think it's because she's like not quite beautiful, which makes her more beautiful. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, June the 24th. Is Nat's birthday?
Yeah.
Is that your birthday today?
It is, yeah.
When I just saw it, then that's mental. It's Nat's birthday today.
Yeah.
Why don't you say something in advance?
I'm low-key.
Yeah, I've always thought you're a bit of low-key. On the show today, all the guests are cancelled. It's Nat's birthday.
Yeah.
Nat's birthday show. 4:30 PM though, we'll let Stacey Francis come into the studio to talk about Bear, a pop opera, but we will also be mainly talking about Nat's birthday. Then at 5 PM, director Josh Rush will be speaking about Nat's birthday on today's Nat birthday show. It's my birthday in 3 days.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's both of our birthdays. It's a birthday show. It's both
but it's
of
not
our birthdays.
My birthday.
It kind of is.
Yeah, but it's not my birthday.
It's more your birthday than my birthday.
No, it's not. It's exactly your birthday.
Well-ish.
It's my birthday in 3 days.
Happy birthday.
Can we record a little bit more at the end and put it out on my birthday?
Yeah, sure. Just a little special thing.
Josh Rush will be talking about some or other. Then at 5:30 PM, Katie Manning, brackets, who played Joe Grant on Doctor Who, is in the studio just for a chat.
Birthday chat.
Birthday chat about Nat's birthday. And about mine.
Your birthday.
About mine coming up and
Yay.
What she would like to get me. Prix, how are you getting on this fine Monday? Should let you know, Natalie's very, very tired. I'm very poorly.
What a birthday for us both.
What a horrible birthday we're having. Do you know what? Hey, look at this. There's a chance, isn't there, that I won't even make it to my birthday. How weird will that be if I die before this comes out?
That is true. What if I didn't? Because I might not, because it's still technically a week
later
than
yeah.
this. So
yeah.
while this goes
we
out,
could also,
this could be the final show for both of
but
us.
But you're not feeling ill. I'm feeling
in
ill.
A way, I'm not feeling 100%.
I've got all sorts up with me.
What have you got? Should I do a top trump?
Yeah, my diverticular disease thing has kicked in this last 2 weeks. That's been quite bad. Not been sleeping well at all.
No, me neither.
I've got a thumb.
Yeah, I've got a thumb too.
No, but listen to what mine does.
I've got two thumbs.
No, listen what mine does. Well, only one of mine does this. My thumb has started twitching. And it's quite erratic as well, so it's not like just a little twitch. I mean, it's no good for radio, is it? But I'll show you. It goes like that.
Ooh.
Literally goes like that. Really fast moving.
Maybe it's the
phone
thumb.
That's a possibility. That's what occurred to me today.
Yeah.
Because today I was playing... What's that game I play all the time?
Snake.
No. Yeah, I play Snake all the time, yeah. Playing Hangman on my phone now. let me see what it's called. Toon Blast.
Oh, that one.
I play Toon Blast loads. I do play it a lot. Probably too much. But you have limited lives and stuff, so if you run out of lives, then it's fine. But I'm dead good at it, so I very rarely run out of lives.
That thumb?
It is that thumb.
That's what it is then, we've sorted that.
Think it
is,
it's RSI?
Definitely, because it does hurt my fingers after all if I'm on my phone too much. I get a sore wrist.
You know, for someone that hates their phone as much as I do, I have it in my hand a lot.
Why? Is it a comfort thing?
No, I don't feel comforted by it at all. I've recently, of late, been turning my phone off completely.
That's good.
I didn't do it last night. I stayed at Martin's last night. It was down in London. Slept on a sofa. Wasn't comfortable at all. I watched Captain Marvel. Really, really liked it. Wasn't even a hockey version. It was someone... It's from the American Blu-ray one.
Yeah.
Because it's out in Blu-ray in America already.
And which one is that one?
It's... Captain Marvel.
Well, I don't know anything about these films. That's not the one that came out recently with them all in it, right?
No, I think it actually came out just before that.
Okay.
Because she was in Avengers Endgame.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson's in it.
is Jeremy Renner in
Samuel
it?
L. Jackson's in it. This yep. might be a spoiler. Might be a spoiler, that.
Oh, whatever.
Right, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, right. Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson's in it. He's de-aged for the entire film.
Is he... Now, I know his character. It's something like Dave Fury.
Nick Fury,
that's it, yeah.
But he's de-aged for the whole film.
He's de-aged.
Well, it's set in, like, the early 90s.
Oh, old school.
So they've actually digitally de-aged him for the whole film. Fucking... It's insane what they can do with that now.
Okay.
And Marvel do it particularly well, I found.
Yeah.
They do it, like, very well. They did it with Michael Douglas as well.
Is he in a Marvel film?
They de-aged him for Ant-Man.
Oh.
And it was, like, seamless.
Okay, like he was in Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Or Wall Street, probably Wall Street. Closer. But it's insane. Because you can't see the join.
No.
Like, you actually can't. You know, like, well, you don't know, but in Rogue One and things like that, Star Wars films, they digitally recreated Carrie Fisher in one of them.
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah.
Peter Cushing was in that as well. And you can see the join. It's like, they call it it's called uncanny. It's something to do with uncanny, which is no matter how perfect you make it, it's just off.
Right, okay.
And it's not in the de-aging thing. I think probably because they have the actor there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the actor's there and it's digitally captured.
Maybe they could do that for us today on the show.
I'd love that. They did it with Pee Wee Herman, I think, when he made that film he made for Netflix.
Yes.
Slightly.
Paul Reubens.
Yes.
Continue with your Marvel thing, because I want to mention him anyway.
Well, no, go back to Paul Reubens then.
Because have you been watching what we do in the Shadows, the TV series?
I've not, and do you know why?
It's so good.
I thought it was... I watched that. I didn't even get through the first episode.
Well, okay.
Is he in it? Is Paul Reubens in it?
There's a really good episode. Spoiler, but it was on TV like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
They ends up going to a trial, and in this trial, they've got... Tilda Swinton, who was in that vampire film. I can't remember what it's called.
Sorry about that click. Yeah, I just drank some coffee. I didn't expect it to go like that.
Tilda Swinton's there. They've got Evan Rachel Wood, who did Twilight.
Okay.
They've got Wesley Snipes as Blade.
Right.
And then
thought he was in jail.
Not anymore.
All right.
And then they've got Paul Reubens, who was in Buffy the Vampire
Slayer.
Thought
he was in jail.
Not anymore.
He didn't go to jail, Paul Reubens.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And so it's just a weird... And they're mentioning, like, Tom and Brad, who are obviously in Interview with a Vampire.
Okay.
Robert, it was in... So that it's kind of nice how they've got
I'd
all this...
I'd probably miss a lot of those references.
Do you think?
Yeah, I'd miss... I didn't see Interview with a Vampire. I didn't certainly
you know
see
Tom
Twilight.
Cruise played Lester.
I do know that, yeah. But I don't know anything about the story.
Don't need to.
But Paul Reubens, is he in it a lot?
He's in it. In Buffy the Vampire Slayer or in What
no.
We Do in the Shadows?
Is he in Buffy as well?
Yeah.
Is he?
That's why he's in this programme, because it's all a callback to people who played vampires and stuff.
I adore Paul Reubens. I think he's absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
And if you actually dig deeper onto the legal issues that occurred around him...
I need to dig I remember it, but I don't remember what... Oh,
there's nothing to tell. What?
Was he in a... No, I'm not going to say it. Perhaps...
No, you're saying was he? You're asking me what?
I'm whispering like I can't be picked up.
Was he what?
Was it involving a cinema?
Yes.
Okay, then I know what it is. Yeah.
It was Indecent Exposure in a cinema.
Yeah.
In a sex cinema it was. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think a great deal of the attacks on Paul Reubens of that time stemmed from homophobia. I don't actually know if Paul Reubens is actually gay.
Okay.
I just presume he is, but I don't know if he is or not.
I've got no idea.
But that's what I think. I think it stemmed from him being a kids TV character. And he was actually really on it when that programme was on air, Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he smoked. I don't know if he still does, but he smoked at the time. He was really vigilant not to be seen smoking in public and not to be, you know, all them sort of things. And the series, I think, had finished.
Yeah.
And he was in a sex cinema, allegedly with his... gentleman
Pee-wee
out with his Pee-wee out, yeah, but it kind of destroyed his career for a bit,
but I will say that I've seen him in stuff.
Do you know what, it maybe didn't destroy his career, you know?
I don't think it did, because I think Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
it destroyed
was
Pee-wee
after
Herman
that,
is
as
what
a
it
character,
destroyed
yeah but Tim Burton he's worked with on stuff hasn't
yeah,
he since
yeah.
then Buffy was definitely
only little
after
bits
that.
Though only small parts and stuff.
I've seen him in stuff. I don't think it ruined his
he was
career.
In Batman Returns, he was in Gotham, he played the Penguin's father in Gotham as well.
Yeah,
I think he's brilliant.
He is good.
Is he coming in? When's he coming in?
I'll put a note down.
Let's get him in.
Paul Reubens. But I don't think he's going to come in. I don't think he's over. He'll be on the phone.
Oh, get him in. He'll be
Paul
all right.
Reubens.
Tell him to come in. He's got that flying bike, can he, from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yes,
he could just
yeah.
fly over on that.
No
bother at all. How did we get to that?
We were talking about Marvel. He's in the Marvel
what
film.
Were we in the Shadows you were talking about?
Oh, yeah, but before that, you mentioned
it. I didn't like it. I just didn't like it.
The first episode.
Yeah. Honestly, I watched maybe 15 minutes of it. That's how much of a chance I gave it. So that might be a fault on my part.
I don't think, for me, most first episodes are not the best episode. I think you've got to give it. I think it gave up to number 3 was I was like, okay, this is actually really good. Matt Berry's really good.
Okay.
That phone jacker guy is good.
Right.
K. Van Novak.
Yeah.
It's obviously written by the same people and directed.
He's directed it as well, hasn't he? Yeah.
Jermaine Clement. Yeah. It is good. I'd give it some more chance. It's okay. They're only like 21 minutes long per episode.
Well, it didn't last that long on the episode.
So if you lasted 15, you had another five to go.
I thought they looked like they couldn't be bothered. But that must have been the way they were playing it. But I thought they looked like they couldn't be bothered.
Have you seen the film, though? That's kind of how they played it in the film, too.
That is the other problem with it, I think. Oh, that's the problem I was having. Even though I knew this going in, it was just a repeat of the film, but not done as well.
Okay.
Similarly, I feel that way about Lemony Snicket, about the Netflix show Lemony Snicket, which I really like. I've not got through it yet because I stopped watching it and now I think I've lost the thread of it. But I think that suffers as a TV series because it's so similar to the movie in design and often portrayal as well, because it's similar to the book, it's just in with the book, that I think it sometimes suffers because it's not Jim Carrey and it looks like someone... It looks like he's been miscast in that part, even though he's not. He's perfectly correct.
Who is it? Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
He's
very good. Very good. But something, I think, because of the existence of Jim Carrey playing that part, it slightly knocks it off.
Well, maybe that's what is slightly different about what we did in the show. They're not playing the same characters, whereas in Lemony Snicket, obviously it's Lemony Snicket.
Oh, yeah, they're not. They're different characters.
Yeah, okay. They're English. Right. They're all three of them are, I think, British actors.
Right.
And they've got. Well, Matt Berry certainly has kept his accent.
I wasn't enjoying it.
Okay, fine.
But I'm not saying it's rubbish. I just wasn't enjoying it.
But maybe you weren't in the right mood.
That's also possible.
Because I was trying to watch the Matt Berry I can't remember what it's called. Talking about the rabbit, Year of the Rabbit. That's the new one on Channel 4. And I was watching last night thinking, no, I turned it off at 10. But then I thought, maybe I'm just not in the right mood for this either.
I think I partly struggle at the moment to watch anything because I'm constantly watching the Parapod movie.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it. I've seen it hundreds of times. And I'm so... engrossed in that, yet bored of seeing it over and over again as well, that I actually, when I watch something else, I'm still in edit mode, and I'm still in sort of like, oh, you could take that bit out, you could take that bit out, oh, I don't like how that, I'm still in hypercritical mode when I watch things, and I'm just so, that's why I was so relieved last night when I watched Captain Marvel, because about 25 minutes in, I was like, I'm watching this, I'm just watching it.
That's good.
I'm not, you know, I'm not like, I'm actually a bit lost in it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure at first.
They're long films as well, aren't they?
It's 2 hours, yeah. Mm. I wasn't sure at first. But at first I thought I might not like this at all. Okay. And then I can't remember what happened, but something happened in it that made me like, okay, I'm engaged. And then I just watched the whole thing. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
I had the similar experience watching a film on Saturday that I wasn't sure if I would like. And I did. You know Vice, the Adam McKay film about...
the presidential thing about Dick Cheney.
That's it. Yeah. I just watched it and I forgot his name. But did you see The Big Short that he did as well?
No.
Because I felt that took me two attempts to watch that. Because the first one, I thought, I don't even understand what's going on.
Would I like Vice?
Yes.
I like stuff like that.
Yes, I think you would.
Is it very strong performances?
Steve Carell, Sam Rockwell's excellent. Yeah. Christian Bale, of course. Amy Adams is very good. Yeah, I think it is a really good
film. I'm not keen on Christian Bale.
Oh.
And I think that's a hangover from when I heard that.
The tape of him screaming. Yeah,
I think it, I do. I think it's that. No, I think it's enough. That. I really like Sam Rockwell.
He's fantastic. I will watch a film if he's in it.
I've got a contact for Sam Rockwell. I have, honestly.
Ooh.
Should we get Sam Rockwell?
I'd love to have
him
on the show. Yeah.
Shall I use my contacts and see if they can get Sam Rockwell on the show? Imagine that. Imagine if one week on the Twitter it just said, right, so and so is doing a play at the Soho Theatre. It's Biggins or someone as Sam Rockwell.
Do you know what? Weirdly, Biggins and Rockwell, what a team that could be on the same show.
Getting both in at the same time.
Yeah, why not?
Well, he's hard to pin down Biggins, isn't he? I really like him, and I really like Steve Carell as well.
Yeah, excellent. And you don't like Christian Bale?
I think it's a hangover from that tape.
So that must mean you're not that keen on Russell Crowe either, when he was like flinging things across.
I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, okay.
Best Russell Crowe, I sort of have a lot of time for because he's very involved in rugby league, and he owns an Australian rugby league team.
Sure.
And he came to Saints one time and stuff. So
yeah. Great, we love Russell.
Yeah,
get Russell Crowe on the show.
My mum thinks I look like Russell Crowe. She thinks I look like Russell Crowe, Kenneth Branagh. She said that when I'm 50, I'm going to look like Lee Majors. This is all stuff she said in the past.
Lee Majors, Bionic Man.
Yeah, full guy as well. Let's get Lee Majors on.
Is he with us?
He's alive.
He's with us, okay. Yeah. Good. We've got to check.
He's pretty old, I think, but he's alive.
Okay. I don't think he'll be over in the UK then.
Get a lift with PV Herman.
And Sam Rockwell.
All Sam Rockwell, hasn't he got a rocket, Sam Rockwell?
He has, yeah, from that film, yeah. He's
Sam Rockwell, I really liked in Three Billboards.
He's brilliant in that. So is Woody Harrelson, don't you think?
I think they're all brilliant in that.
I think Woody Harrelson isn't excellent.
I think that's my favourite film that I've seen in the last 12 months.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay.
Blew me away, and I've got mates who hate it.
I can
see. Like, my friend Laura said to me, she was saying to me that how much she hated it, and I was like, oh, I'm really looking forward to watching it. And then I watched it, I was like, you're mad, this is a brilliant film.
Okay, why did she hate it?
I can't remember, she did give me a list of reasons, she always does.
But then I thought that the same about the Death of Stalin film.
Not so much.
Loved it, but a lot of people were like, I really hated it, whereas I've seen it a couple of times, so I think it's really funny.
Do you know what I think? We will put some music on and have guests in a bit, by the way.
This is it's tradition now, the film, film chat at the beginning.
Do you know what I think?
What?
I think I now judge films according to that thing that I mentioned earlier. According to that idea of, do I get lost in the film? Does it switch me off from the
reality,
stresses of real
what
life?
What you're thinking about, yeah.
Because my life is very stressful at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think worryingly stressful. I've started thinking, this is actually, you know when you say like stress is a killer and all that? I've started thinking, this is really bad how stressed I am. And I have a fair few people who put things on me as well.
Sorry.
No, not you. You're not. You're one of the few that doesn't. But there are people in my life who do pile stuff on me.
That's true.
Which is normally okay if it's just one of them, but when it's a few people... anyway, that's another story entirely. But I think I now am judging films according to, do they take me away from all this stress for a bit?
I think that is the point of films.
Not always.
I think so. I think it's supposed to get you out into another world for 2 hours or something.
But it takes some doing, doesn't it?
So, yeah, it does,
so
yeah.
My attitude at the moment is very much my attitude I had with What We Do in the Shadows, which is to put something on, go, I don't even want to watch it, and turn it off.
Okay.
Right? That's my attitude. Probably isn't a fault of the actual programme, probably a fault on my side of just not being able to switch off. So if something can get me to switch off now, I'm like, it's my best film ever.
Great.
So Three Billboards definitely did. Captain Marvel definitely did last night. Stan and Ollie definitely did.
I want to see that. I think watch Vice then.
What's it called? Oh, what's the fucking Richard E. Grant and...
Oh, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Can you forgive us? Yeah, forgive us. Is
brilliant.
That good? That's good, right?
Brilliant.
Okay, I do want to see that.
And like, slow and quite intriguing as a story. And I really, really loved it. So that's what I'm after.
You liked that film with Melissa McCarthy where she's with the Muppets or all those
characters. Did, yeah,
and
Happy Time Murders.
I didn't like that
I really liked it.
In fact, she got on my nerves in that
did
film
did she really?
A lot, yeah.
She's kind of an unsympathetic character in it for a bit, though, isn't she?
She is, yeah. Maya Rudolph's in it. She's obviously great in everything. Love her. But,
can't remember who she
she's
is.
She's the secretary.
Obviously, I'm not keen
love
on her.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not keen on her.
Okay.
I find her upsetting to watch.
What?
I
do. Why?
I find her
she's
acting
amazing.
A bit upsetting. No, I'm sure she... Again, it's personal taste.
Exactly.
It's not any criticism of her. No, I did like it. And I liked it as well because so many people have slagged it off. And I was like... Again, me and Phil Fletcher, who does Hacker, we talked about that quite a lot. Which is the idea of watching something and not just watching it on face value as a film, which I think I particularly do now as well because I'm making a film.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know what goes into it. And what I've put into this film, a film like Happy Time Murders has that and then 100 times that with all the technicalities of it and stuff. I know how difficult it is to technically make a film without chucking puppets in the mix.
Mm.
So when you watch that film, I think if you know about that sort of thing, you can really appreciate... It's like Dark Crystal is another case in point. People hate Dark Crystal, or did at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of been reappraised now, and people do like it. But people hated it when it came out.
Okay.
And it's... As a work of skill and a work of art, I think that adds to the... To how much I would appreciate it from that.
Okay.
So Happy Time Murders, I was like, no, this is actually technically very brilliant as well.
So you're watching it from a different angle to perhaps how
both,
I
think.
Right, okay.
I thought it was funny. I did think it was funny.
Yeah, well, okay. I thought there were bits of it. Just sometimes Melissa McCarthy, there are stuff I really like her in, and there's other stuff that I think,
oh. Do you know what? I think she's very good.
She's definitely a good actress.
I thought she was amazing in Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
I thought they were all amazing in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, they were good, yeah.
Given that they were on a hiding to nothing from day one.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Chris Hemsworth was good in that too, actually. I thought everyone was good.
Less keen on him.
Why? Oh, interesting.
I'm less... I don't like... Here's what I don't like. Excuse me. I don't like that there's now a tendency to use Chris Hemsworth, particularly in comedy roles. So no matter what role he's playing, Thor, they made Thor gradually over time into kind of a comedy character.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine there were meetings going, I'll tell you what, he does dead funny stuff. He can be dead funny. You know, he's not just a beefcake,
yeah.
He can be really funny
he's
as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's been then overused.
Right.
So I thought Thor Ragnarok was amazing, mm-hmm. and that was a very, very, very funny film. But then the continuing story of Thor, I think, has been... I found it borderline offensive in Endgame.
Oh, okay.
Because he was, spoiler alert, he was fat. Just fat in it.
And the
it was
whole
just
film?
Loads of fat jokes about him. Really, that's all it was.
Oh, really?
Marvel have done that quite a bit, you know.
With
People being fat.
Have they?
Yeah. And snipey fat references.
Okay. Is he like fat and then thin in the film?
No.
Or does he just maintain it?
He's fat from beginning to end, spoiler alert.
Okay.
Just got a belly and stuff.
Why?
Because he's just like give up.
Oh,
he's
fine,
just
okay.
been eaten and drank. Now, they did it in, I think it was the Avengers film before it. There was some reference to Chris Pratt, I want to say.
Yeah, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That dude,
yeah.
And there was some reference to him having put weight on.
Right, so he kind of famously used to be slightly on the bigger side.
Did he? Okay.
And then lost, because he was in Parks and Recreation when he started it.
Okay.
Well, fairly normal size. And then obviously he lost tons and tons of weight and gained all that muscle for Guardians of the Galaxy, I think.
So is that an in-joke then? So would it have been in-joke?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's even worse than I think, because I didn't know it was an in-joke.
Right,
so
okay. I'm assuming, I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming that's what they mean when they said he...
I'm not saying you can't have fat jokes on someone, by the way. I'm not giving it all I am fat, so no jokes about fat at all. I just think it's quite a... I think you've got to be ultra careful with stuff like that. It's predominantly aimed at kids. Mm. So you're hitting a market that is particularly susceptible to influence. Same as smoking, you know. How many people started smoking and didn't know it's because they'd watched Ghostbusters when they were a kid?
Do you think that's why?
Yeah, I really do. I do. No, I definitely...
Who smoked in Ghostbusters?
I think there's two things. All of them. Honestly, try and find a scene in Ghostbusters when someone's not got a fag on. It's unbelievable. I think there's two things in Ghostbusters that are insidiously influential. One is smoking, but not a brand, but they are smoking. And the other one is Budweiser.
Ah, okay.
And I think Budweiser is very apparent in lots of scenes. And the Ghostbusters are drinking Budweiser. And I think it is. It's proper subliminal advertising.
Okay.
Because they must have had a deal with Budweiser.
As
a brand deal.
Whereas now they do it all the time and you see stuff in films. Or TV shows. You're like, okay.
They did that then. But but cigs.
Yeah,
they had cigs on a lot. Even the figures of Ghostbusters, they've all got cigs.
The Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, he has a cig on. He's very smoky at the end of it anyway.
He's big though, isn't he? It'd be a tiny little cigarette in his hand.
But that's the point is I think that those sort of things can... have undue influence. Matt Lucas spoke about it on Herring's podcast recently, and this idea as a creator where you think, I hope I've not done something that's ended up hurting someone. So he was talking about the Any Gay in the Village and all that sort of business, and saying that, you know, it troubled him that would have been used as an attack on a kid.
Right, okay.
Even though it was a comedy thing. So there is a degree of care you've got to take with them things, I think.
I think you could say it with a few of his characters. I think Vicky Pollard supposedly being a bit chavvy being
there's loads of characters from Little Britain that would apply you know, that's the benefit of hindsight, I suppose,
course,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's I think something like Marvel, which is on, I mean, it's on a much vaster scale than Little Britain is, from a worldwide point of view. If you've got like just a throwaway fat joke where someone's undermined for being fat and they themselves acknowledge it as being a bad thing,
right?
I think that's it's a difficult thing to deal with, that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Okay.
I do.
No, I can understand that.
How many times have we done things like in the past? I mean, I remember particularly the sex show that I did with Angela here, and I'm sure I said it with Ed as well. There was something. We had long discussions about people using like small cock as an insult and all that sort of thing, and I would check it and go, no, there might be someone listening now who's ultra insecure about it, like a teenager or a young kid, who's got no clue how big it should or shouldn't be. All they've got is pop culture influence on that, or porn.
Yeah, but that's the same thing for women have it when it's either actually small or big boobs.
Absolutely.
Either way, it can be used as a thing against you.
So, that was amazing when you said that. You then crossed your arms.
I've just got
really defensive. I'm going to cover them up for a second.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. So there has to be a degree of curve, something you casually throw away. But I've definitely done it. Definitely
of course.
Done it.
You've done it on the show when you talked about my
about your
waps
big,
or whatever you called
your
them.
Big waps.
Yes.
I'm not saying if they're good or bad, though, am I?
No, that's true.
Just acknowledging
just
them.
What they are, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also not in favour of just sanitising everything as well. I'm just saying, personally, I found some of the little fat references in Marvel a bit problematic.
I'm not going to watch it because I'm not interested in the whatever it is, the Marvel stuff, but I can understand what you're saying.
I'd have had no influence with it. No influence? I'd have had no issue with it. See that? I think I'm having a stroke as well. I'd have had no issue with it.
I don't know why I laughed when you said that. That's
I think I've
funny.
Caught it off Chico. I'd have no issue with it at all. If someone had said something about him being overweight to him,
mm-hmm.
and he'd have gone, fuck off.
Okay, yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? That sort of attitude. It was the fact that he seemed quite insecure about them saying that.
Aww.
That's what bothered me about it. So if he then was like, get fucked, even if, if it was a funny joke, a funny insult about something, I've no problem with that. I don't want it, you know.
Well, that's film chat. That's our film of the week.
It was just
Marvel,
doing it. It was just doing
advice.
It. It was just doing it. My thumb
the
was just
twitchy
doing it.
Finger.
Yeah.
We did have a tweet last time, didn't we? I can't remember, weeks ago now, from someone saying, love the film chat. Oh, Jonathan, there you go, I found it.
We can't, but we can't do this show just for one
Loving
person.
The film chat on Ian's show. More of this, please. With Barry, too, if possible.
No.
It's not possible.
He wouldn't be able to have a chat like this about films.
Why?
Because he wouldn't.
Because
as soon as we mentioned the Ghostbusters remake, he'd go, it's shit.
Oh.
There'd have been no consideration
Why
to the
is it
discussion.
Shit?
He wouldn't be able to tell you that.
Nah. So, no, thank you.
He probably would. I'm going to play some Chaz and Dave today. I've decided.
I just broke my hip.
Okay.
You're a little bit of me. I'm a little bit of you. That's what we want, wanna wonder. Like a lot of others do. Cause you're a little bit of me. I'm a little bit of you. You're a little bit of me. I'm a little bit of you. Take a wander over yonder. That's what we ain't gonna do. Cause you're a little bit of me. I'm a little bit of you. We laugh rainy days, share each other's fade away. Sugar in our tea. We dream the same dream, cheer on the same team. They ain't saying that we'll never fall out, but we can't find nothing to rail about. Cause you're a little bit of me, I'm a little bit of you. That's what we want, wanna wonder, like a lot of others do. You're a little bit of me, I'm a little bit of you.
To Fubar Radio, which of course is the home of the Chaz and Dave double play, and now we have Come On Charlie as our second Chaz and Dave double play.
Come on Charlie, you lazy git, put your back into it. If we're not careful, we'll never get done today. We'll have to stand it up on end if we're gonna get it round the bend. No, not like that, mate. Away. Now, 42, turn it round, dust your ticket, we'll soon be down around the corner, having
a pint of beer. Oh no, of all the luck you got, it when the truth is stuck. What are we gonna do now? We can't leave it here.
Look, give it a rest, will ya? You're just making things worse. Shut your rag, give me time to think, and I'll be able to do it quick as a wink. You keep poking your nose in, leave it out, and I can do it if you'll only keep your facts now. And I'll shut you round, now shut up your gob. I know how to do the job. I got it all sorted now, and I can do it if you'll only shut your round.
But my name and all just scraping along the wall. Put your back into it. If we're not careful, we'll never get done today. We'll have to stand it up on end if we're gonna get it round the bend. No, not like that, mate. Up the other way.
I keep telling ya, give it a rest, will ya? Shut your rack, give me time to think, then I'll be out to do it quick as a wink. You keep poking your nose in, leave it out.
Scraping along the wall.
That was the Chaz and Dave double play that we're famous for on this show.
I enjoyed it.
I'm going to start doing that. Chaz and Dave double
every
play.
Every show.
I want to talk to you about it. Yesterday, you know that I don't listen back to this show because it's bad enough being here the first time.
but sometimes I think you do.
No, I don't.
Because
no,
you've texted me before about things that are like, that didn't sound right.
No, that's normally because someone has tweeted me to tell
okay.
me. Yeah,
okay.
No, I don't listen back to it.
Okay.
I don't, not in a stubborn way, I just don't listen back to it. But what I did do yesterday when I was driving down is I, on my shuffle on my phone, Chaz and Dave came on my shuffle.
Right.
And then I was thinking about when I interviewed Chaz, not long before he died. And I went and found that and listened to that interview.
How was it?
It was beautiful. Mm. It was really, really lovely. I spoke too much, as normal, but he was brilliant, and it was really sweet, and it was. We were talking about how we were going to catch up in another 20 years and
we
all that
did
sort of
say
stuff.
That, yeah.
Got a little bit choked up when I listened to it. But what I thought was, I don't know if this is exploitative. I'm asking you. You know when you do like best ofs and all that sort of stuff when I'm not here.
Oh,
is it plausible? What
are you going to do? Sorry, no. Continue what you were about to say.
What,
then
what do you think I'm going to say?
No, I don't think you are going to say what I thought you were going to say. So just say
tell me what you
say.
Think I was going to say.
That we could do a best of departed guests.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay, there
yeah,
we go.
Serious.
We're on the same page. Okay,
but like,
right,
like an obit show?
Okay, yeah,
not
we
in
could
a,
do that.
But is that exploitative?
I'm trying to work out how many guests have been on that have passed.
Loads.
Be, really?
Yeah, loads.
Steve
got,
Strange,
we've got another guest in the studio now who's now
she
looking
looks
panicked.
Healthy. She looks healthy. You do
honestly,
look healthy at the
loads,
you
know. Loads of them die. Loads of them die.
They are slightly
oh
older.
Oh my God. We should fucking knock wood.
Steve Strange.
Should we knock wood or the hell?
This is Stacey Francis with us, by the
this
way.
This is a very interesting introduction.
Right. No, it's true. But this wasn't the intro
it's okay.
that I was actually had planned.
I can only think of two guests. No, that's not enough to fill
out. Okay, so do we need to talk about that, though?
There's a few.
Now it's awkward.
No, it's all right. You'd be okay. I think you'd be all right.
We never had George Michael on.
We didn't have George Michael on.
Carrie Fisher.
We didn't have
I
them
can't
on.
Think of any more. Ronnie Corbett.
We didn't have him on. We just said that he might die and then he did.
Okay. I think there's only been two guests.
No, there's not.
There's more than.
I just can't remember the names.
Okay.
I'm a nun in the show, so I could actually bleed the blood of Jesus and it wouldn't seem odd.
Look, I don't, by the way, we are not legally. If anything does happen,
we've
not
we
actually.
Done
I'm going to just keep pleading the blood of Jesus because I am playing a nun in the new show. So
okay.
I'll just stay here with my eyes closed
well,
and
that's
just
what,
plead the blood of
you
Jesus
look healthy.
On my own life.
We're talking
I am very
about,
healthy, thank God.
We're talking about Bear, a pop opera.
Yeah.
And
hi.
I know nothing about it. Hi there.
Hi.
And I know nothing about it at all.
Yeah.
Because that's how I roll.
Okay,
I deliberately
that's fine.
Don't find anything out
okay.
about the guests. Unless I know
cool.
them already, pretty bad, don't.
Okay.
So it's at the Vaults.
It's at the Vaults. It's called Bear, B-A-R-E,
yep.
for people
yep.
listening that never heard of it as well.
Yeah.
A pop opera. And we're not singing opera, but everything is, the lyrics, the dialogue is very saying, and the story is very saying. And it's about a boy in Catholic school who, he's in boarding school, and he falls in love with another boy.
Okay.
Basically. And obviously, that's not very wanted at a Catholic boarding school. And so the priest has a problem with it, and he obviously is hiding it, and he's afraid. He wants to come out, and it's just perfect for the Stonewall riots at this time in life, you know, to have this kind of show.
Is it a new show?
It is. Well, it was, no, it was originally from 2008, but I think it was long before its time, to be honest.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I have friends in America that were Broadway producers that tried to sell it to people to do it on Broadway, and they wouldn't touch it. And
right.
I think now would be a perfect time for a show like this on the West End as well as Broadway.
Is it readapted, though, now? It was 2008, or is it just exactly as it was?
Yeah. It's exactly as it was.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was very before its time. And now it's like perfect timing because, you know, the gay community is more outspoken and more supported. And it's just, you know, it's just a be yourself kind of project. You know, be yourself. Don't be afraid of who you are. You know, you can be loved. And just, I mean, it's just a beautiful story about.
I think I'd sulk. I think if I'd made something that hadn't done well, and then the time in the future came where it would fit better, I'd be like, no, you're not having it.
Really?
Yeah. Why?
But you ignored it the first time, so you can't have it.
Well, I mean, this is the society we live in. I have friends, and as a matter of fact, that are gay, that a very good friend of mine, his name is Billy Port in America, who's
he's amazing.
He's one of my closest friends. And I remember in the 90s, I did a Broadway show with him, and he could not. The record label would not allow him to say that he was gay. He had to pretend he was singing to women, and he couldn't be himself, and he was attacked, and he was always, you know, really pretty much beat up in the industry. He was rejected for 10 years, and now he's in a position where he's doing thriving and doing so well because society has finally caught up to him, you know.
And was that, so at that time then, was that, if that was the if that's the reason that he wasn't allowed to say things and all that, and they did they just say it blatantly, just saying, no, you can't because you are gay?
Absolutely.
So aren't there now legal repercussions to that? Can't he just now just go back and go, right, well,
I don't know if he even cares now. He's
no,
so famous.
Not.
He's gotten nominated for
not.
Golden Globe. He's the universe is sort of blessing him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's in a Taylor Swift video that's coming out today. I'm just kind of promoting him because I love him, but it's a very sort of neck and neck sort of story, because the show that I'm doing right now, it just represents someone like him.
Yeah.
And it's just a really feel good story. I think every generation would love it. It's a young demographic. We have young artists straight out of drama school that are phenomenal, that don't have a Broadway background or West End background yet, but they should be going there because they are phenomenal artists, and I'm just honored to be working with them, and it's just a really phenomenal piece.
So you said you play a nun in the show.
I do.
Are you a sympathetic character?
I'm a very sympathetic. I'm very, Peter is the name of the character. I'm very much telling him to be himself, and God will love you, and God got your back, and so do I, kind of support system, because he definitely needs that, because he doesn't have that around him, and he finds himself depressed a lot, and I'm the character that sings a gospel song and comes out and, you know,
and
there's a really phenomenal moment. I don't want to give it away, but it's a phenomenal moment where I get to come out dressed as Beyonce and, I'm just like, I'm the person that sort of lifts his spirits and brings him to a place spiritually and emotionally to feel that it's okay to be yourself. So I'm very, very happy and proud of the role that I play.
Do you feel duty bound as someone who performs it within the show? And it's obviously a show that has an ethical and moral stance, ultimately, because of what it's about.
Uh-huh.
But do you feel that when you do PR and stuff like this, that you have to hammer that home, or would you be more inclined to go, let the piece speak for itself?
Well, it's a very interesting, that's a great question, because I worked on Broadway for many years in musical theater. I have a lot of gay friends, and I'm very supported by the LGBT community because I'm a soprano, and like, we're the ones that, you know, like, they love to hear me sing. I've been at Heaven, I've been at big clubs around Europe, and so I think if it wasn't for that, I'd just be like, okay, let the piece speak for itself. But because I have so many friends, and because I have so many experiences and relationships with people who are gay, it turns into that me going, hey, you know, like, I'm also sort of a petitioner for the rights because of who I am and because of my background.
Yeah, I get that. I have a difficult thing with it sometimes because not just with any cause.
Yeah.
Quote unquote cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think because I want it to be further down the line than it is.
Yeah.
So I want it to be like if I look at Twitter, I'm like, just shut up, but just be.
Yeah.
Just be, and it'll be all right.
I get what you mean.
But
yeah.
But I think you have to check yourself sometimes with that. Because as someone, historically heterosexual person,
yeah,
I think sometimes you have to go, yeah, but it's all very well for me to say that because I'm not party to this, you know.
Yeah,
to the
fucking.
And then I can remember, because I would certainly, as a comedian, when I did comedy and stuff, I certainly would have defended any gay jokes. Like, I definitely would. And even now, I would have defended, and I would defend people that I know who are gay, who I will regularly, you know, call them names and stuff. Well, you know, amongst ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazingly, one of the, John Beck, who you know, who's a designer who works with me sometimes, he sent me a lovely thing the other day, a little picture, which was an old painting of someone knighting someone, and it had like little labels on it saying close straight friend who's allowed to do gay jokes. And then there were people in the background going, people that don't know me who aren't, and all that sort of. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what, you know, I like that. But I also at the same time go, I shouldn't have to say something about him being gay every time I talk to him, but you know.
Right. No, I understand that. I think that unfortunately that's the time we live in. I mean, even see, it's funny because I can say this as well because I'm black and I'm white. So, for example, like sometimes
did you say because I'm black and I'm white?
Yeah, I was going to go into another topic. Yeah, okay, but in the sense of like sometimes I get so tired of black people going, black rights, black civil rights. It's like, I know you, I get you're black. I get it. Yeah. You know, we need to have civil rights. I get it, you know. So, but on the other side of it, I understand I get their pain as well. So it's a very interesting thing because when you're on the outside and you haven't felt that pain, it's very easy to say, just fucking shut up already. But because you're in it, you feel it's just with every cause. I have a friend that has a son who has autism, and every 5 minutes she's talking about kids with autism. It's like, okay, we got it, but we don't know what that feels like as a mom to have a kid with autism, right? So it's the person walking their walk and having their experience, and when you don't have to deal with that burden every day, it just calls for you to be a little more patient and kind and gentle and a little more gracious, even though it might be annoying. In your universe, sometimes you're like, oh, fuck, here we are again.
You know what?
But it's just hard. You know, I think it's important to make sure that as a human being, you do have a patience and you have compassion.
I think that's key. No, I do think that's key. And I think that the issue that I have, I guess, when I observe this sort of thing going on is the vitriol aspect, which I've spoken about on here loads of times, the vitriol aspect, which is,
what does that word mean? Sorry,
it's just like very full on and very sort of angry and angry militant behavior.
Yeah, but unfortunately, society got them there. Do you know what I mean? Like society got them to angry. Society got them to attack. You know, I mean, that's a whole other conversation about being a celebrity in the media, and the media fucking rips you open and rips your heart out, and you're just like, wait, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
And it makes you angry. It makes you want to defend yourself. It makes you want to come out every time and say, stop doing that. So it's a very sensitive, I don't know, like it's a very thin line to always just be sort of gracious and quiet when you're getting ripped apart.
Oh, I don't think you have to be gracious and quiet, but I think I think there are levels of, if you have a cause, of how you fight that cause that isn't ultimately counterproductive.
Yes.
So it can end up being counterproductive cause in a very objectionable way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's a
people
really
stop
thing.
Hearing what you're saying and they're like, okay, here she comes fighting again.
kind of that. And we know there are people within the media who would be lost without their cause.
Yeah.
If they ever got what they're supposedly fighting for, they'd be
fought.
Right.
Right, exactly. It's true.
There's nothing to fight anymore.
It's true, because that's why, thank God, I can sing, because I'm like, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got the talent to back it up. Yeah, totally. and there are plenty that do not.
Right, exactly. They have to stay on reality shows. They have to stay on, like, in the war. No, I get it. It's true.
Yeah, that's why that all spiraled from the idea of, because how I would like things to be if I was in something like that, I would like to go to work, do the show, and come away and not have to say anything about it. Just go, I've literally just said everything that I need to say on that stage.
Yeah.
It's all there.
And this piece does do that, in all honesty. You can go in there as an artist and go, I mean, because honestly, it's my dream role. I get to sing, dance, and act, and I get to be, you know, compassionate and mean and scary, and, you know, it's like all these waves of emotion that I get to play. But the story itself is a story that needs to be told. And it is all these varied characters in it. Some people you hate, some people you love. And I just think that from that viewpoint is dancing and it's entertainment as well. So you'll have feel-good moments and you'll have really horrible, you know, moments where you have to say to yourself, am I guilty of doing this?
Right. And the Vaults, how's the Vaults as a venue?
To be perfectly honest with you, I've heard phenomenal things about it, but I go there tomorrow for something called a Sitz Probe, which I cannot wait to do. It's like my favorite part of it's when the band comes you come out of that like mirrored, you know, and we've been in rehearsal hall for like 3 weeks. You come out of that space and you go and you go into the theater for the first time and you get on the stage and you meet the band and you get to sing with the sound and the lights and the tech and everything starts happening. So this is like my favorite part of the production.
So you've not been to the venue yet?
I haven't been there yet, but I'm just being honest. I mean, my publicist is outside probably going, please pretend. But I know I
have.
No, but I haven't. But I heard
it's
that
really
it's,
right. It's a vault.
You might describe it. It's nothing like that you said. It's like, she wasn't telling the truth.
They're all red seats.
She's like, you're horrible. No, I'm just joking. No, I saw the set because they built the set and they showed us like a mock up of the set and it looked phenomenal. Yeah. So I'm very excited to go in there.
And how long? So the run is June the 21st at the Vaults to August the 4th.
Yeah.
Is that a limited run or is that
run.
Okay, so it will stay like that way,
Yeah, it'll be there for the 6 weeks. And, I mean, ideally somebody will come along and say, oh, wow, we love this and we want to put it in the West End.
It's with a view to make it.
Because it's just definitely, like, you remember the show Rent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was like a movement. I really feel like this show is like that. The young people will love this show.
Yeah.
It's a very young cast. But the story is not young, so all the people will love it too.
Okay, that sounds lovely. So that's an exciting thing for you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
On the cusp of, even though it's existed before, you're on the cusp of creation under a new regime. Ultimately,
it existed in America, so it never ever came here. So
okay,
so it's so new it's, here.
Okay, yeah, right.
So that's really cool. It played in L.A. in America, but it never played here before. So it's totally new to the U.K. and it's really awesome.
And you say first time around it didn't do anything in America because
it did. It was off Broadway. It did well.
It was
in LA. I'm not sure, but they did an album. They did a soundtrack.
The Roxy. I bet it was the Roxy.
They did a soundtrack. Why do you think it was the Roxy?
I think because I know that Rocky Horror went to the Roxy originally.
Oh, okay.
When
I don't
Rocky Horror first transferred, it went to the Roxy.
And maybe somebody could Google for us.
It's the only place I know. I bet it's the Roxy.
Have you been to America?
I have, but yes.
Oh, okay. Like, because you know there's a lot of venues other than the Roxy.
But we're talking about what I know.
Okay.
So in LA, it might not even, do you know what? The Roxy might not even be in LA for all I know.
Is it in LA?
The Roxy. I bet it's at the Roxy.
Oh, the Hudson Theatre.
They renamed the Roxy the Hudson. That's what I was thinking. I forgot that happened.
So funny.
Yeah, that happened.
That is what you meant.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
So I did get the right venue.
Yeah, you totally did.
Yeah, as long as I was right at the end of
That's
so cute.
No, LA always, they still call it the Roxy.
Yeah.
No one calls it the Roxy.
Is there a Roxy in LA? I thought it was in New York.
I don't know. It almost certainly is. That's what I said. I think I said that. I'm not even sure it's in LA. That's literally the only venue I know in America.
It's the only one. So it could be in Oklahoma, but you don't know. It could be Alabama. We don't know.
Go to the airport and say, one ticket for America, please. I am going to go to the Roxy.
I feel like I've seen the logo for the Roxy.
For the Roxy,
it's red but I have no idea.
I don't know what it's like anymore. We can still talk about just different stuff, though, can't we?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the logo, certainly for one period of time, was all light bulbs. It was done
it was in red, right?
But I guess whatever they designed it in at the time.
Yeah. It's LA.
But I certainly know. It was LA.
Yeah.
So I was right. It wasn't LA.
It's the Roxy Theatre in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So it is red. We're kind of ready orange.
Because I lived there for 18 years. So obviously I've seen it.
David Geffen. It was his theatre.
Oh, really?
There we go. Bringing the stage play Rocky Horror to the United States.
Yeah, that's what happened. So Rocky Horror went from London. It was originally the Royal Court. Then it went to the King's Head Theatre.
Yeah.
And then when it transferred to America, Tim Curry went with it because he was in the original cast and he went with it, and that's where Meatloaf entered the cast at the Roxy.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And again, so here's an interesting thing as well. Meatloaf, apparently, when they, because he was just cast in it, he didn't know what it was about, and when Tim Curry came out in rehearsals and stuff dressed up as Frank, apparently Meatloaf walked out.
He did?
Yeah, yeah. And he said, I'm not doing this. I'm not,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that's how he'd been brought up.
Where were the reality TV show cameras at that
yeah,
point?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he'd speak about it now retrospectively as the wrong thing, you know. Yeah. And ultimately, you'd be hard-pushed to find a picture of Tim Curry and Meatloaf where they're not all over each other.
Yeah.
Ultimately. But his initial reaction, which I always find is a very interesting thing about anyone, because in a sense, you can't ultimately judge someone properly on their initial reaction to something, because that's often the most honest reaction you get. Mm-hmm. And if they're then capable people to go, that was wrong, wasn't it? I don't know why I did that. Yeah. And I don't know why, I shouldn't be acting that way.
Yeah.
That, I think, is progress. That's where I think you go, right, well, let's...
That's get fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair
It's thing. The insidious ones that you have to worry about. Mm. The ones that pretend they're not bothered and secretly they're...
Covertly hostile.
There we go. We've got through this, haven't we?
Yes.
Well, it sounds lovely. It does sound like a really exciting thing. I hope it does. I hope it catches that wave.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I've done numerous musicals, at least 10 to 12, and I've not been able to always go to radio and impress and be really proud
passionate,
of it, passionate and proud about it. And I have to be honest, I love this piece. I think it's really beautiful. I think it's a great story that needs to be told. And I think it'll teach life lessons to people that come to see it, and it'll touch hearts and it'll move you. And it's the purpose behind this that I love.
But then it's happening anyway. So regardless of what happens in the future, it still exists as this thing now.
Unfortunately, it does. But I think we're definitely progressing. We're much further ahead than where we used to be.
Yeah.
So that's very awesome.
Good. It's been lovely chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck. It's called Bear, a pop opera. It's at the Vaults, which none of us know. As I heard, the Vaults is a bit like a big Colosseum thing.
Yeah.
And it's got big pillars and all that sort of stuff.
I'm sure it's...
It looks beautiful.
Used to be called the Roxy.
Waterloo. It is by Waterloo. The Vaults, because they have the Vaults.
I know. I'm sure I know where it is.
Isn't it the tunnels? Right?
Yeah, it's in the tunnels. I'm sure it's there.
Very nice location.
Funny enough, the only thing that I've seen on it was I was watching Black Mirror the other day, and it was like an episode, and the guy was walking through this tunnel and it was the Vaults, and I was like, oh my god, honey, there's a Vault. So that was the only thing I've seen on, and obviously it looks really great online. Yeah. So I look forward to
They have a comedy thing there every year at the Vaults. They have got one later on. In fact, they just have one.
You've been there?
I have never been there. I always wanted to, but I do know there's a lot of big things.
We're coming to the conclusion in this interview that nobody has ever been there ever. I mean, wouldn't this be awful?
Then everybody's going to come now because I'm there.
But imagine if you do all this press and then you turn up, they give you a postcard, you turn up and go, there's nothing here. And the whole thing of this mythical venue, the Vaults, which just doesn't exist.
It's that hipstery that you have to really know how to find it. You want to wander around.
It's that cool that it doesn't even exist. No. It's just an idea.
I think they let you know how cool you are, whether or not they let you see it.
Right.
Well, you can't come in.
I might do that at some point.
Come to the Secret Society musical that I'm doing.
I might try and do the ultimate, the coolest show ever, which the show or the venue just doesn't exist. It's just an idea. Like, it's just a feeling.
And you promote it, go on a press tour, and you promote it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be on tour just wherever you're walking that day. It's where the show is. And that's how you put it out.
But I think you should all be shrouded in secrecy. It's a show. People that know the show, I'll be very careful not to say people have seen it. I'll go, people that know the show know the feeling that you get from the show.
There would be some people that would say, I was there that day. I saw it and it was great. And they're like, no, you weren't.
It's like the Sex Pistols when they went to Manchester. Yeah. It's like 10,000 people say they were at that gig.
And there was only about 100 people at the gig.
40, 42.
Oh my God.
Everyone said they were there. They can't all have been there. No way. Impossible.
And everyone in the Northwest had a dance with John Lennon. Everyone went out with John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Listen, Stacey, thanks for coming in. We'll speak again soon. All the best with it.
You too.
What's been happening in your world? What have you been up to? I heard that you fell in love. I gotta tell you the truth.
Listening to Food Bar Radio, home of the double play and home of the leaving the door open in the studio and home of the producer just standing behind you rather sinisterly with a bottle of water for some reason. And of course, it's also the home, famously, of the double play, Arctic Monkeys and Craig David double play. It's the Arctic Monkey, Craig David double play. We've had the Arctic Monkeys and now it's time for Craig David with his classic hit, Heartline.
But I don't go there no more. Every night seeing all the same faces, but I've seen you before.
Oh.
would it do that?
What?
It went into minus. It counted down to zero. Look. I told you 10 seconds and it just carried on playing.
Craig finishes when he finishes.
That was the Arctic Monkey and Craig David double play, of course, famously on the show. Arctic Monkey's there and the Craig David, which I like to also think of as a chance to make a tea.
Yeah, it is. I've got a tea. I've got a nice cup of tea.
Listener, it's a chance for them to go and make a tea.
Because they're roughly 3.5-4 minute songs. Yeah. That's 8 minutes for you to put
don't
the
Don't worry about
on.
Listening to it.
Yeah.
Definitely don't.
Yeah.
Just go and make a cup of tea. We're joined now by Josh Roche.
Yeah, I
really hard to say that.
Roach.
Is it Roach?
Don't worry about it.
Josh Roach.
Don't say yes to Roche then if it's Roach.
Roche. How many people call you Roche?
Josh Roche.
All of my school teachers.
Isn't that awful? Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry for contributing to that. I also, by the way, Josh, I don't mean to take out on you the faults of another guest, but the previous guest didn't say anything about Nat's birthday. Like, not a word.
What did you bring me, Josh? Oh, you brought me a wallet. He brought me a wallet. Thanks, Josh.
Well, inside the wallet is the real gift, which is a receipt.
Thank you.
A receipt.
Thank you very much.
It's my birthday in 3 days. On the 27th.
Where's this for?
Would you like a receipt as well?
It depends. Is it something I can't
hold on.
It's a co-op receipt.
I've got 1,000 Kenyan shillings.
You've got the better gift.
I don't want to take that off you, but I will have it as a gift.
How much is that worth?
What would it be?
Last time I was in Kenya, I think that gets you sort of about 20 pence, but you know.
So if I took that though to the place where you transfer your money in that, I would get 20p.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think you would. I don't think they give you anything for Kenya.
They charge commission as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah. But anyway, you can give it a go. Anyway, it's a thought that counts, isn't it?
It's a little sentimental. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Co-op receipt. Yeah. So I think this is actually a really good birthday.
We've done all right. Who's this bloke on this note?
I have no idea.
He's the first president of Kenya.
Is that Kenyatta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. What were you doing in Kenya?
A mate of mine lives out there. Or lived. She now lives in London, but she lived there for
That doesn't tell me anything. That was very vague.
Well, I went to see her.
Now we're getting to it. Yeah, and then what? Yeah. Then what happened?
went and saw some animals and stuff.
Right.
Lions.
Which animals?
And that.
Oh, a lion.
Yeah.
Tigers and bears.
Didn't see any tigers or bears. No.
Not my.
Tried to see a panther a lot of the time, but
Tried to see a panther.
None of them.
What have you been to Kenya for? I was trying to see a panther. Didn't see one. I'm going again next year.
Yeah. When's panther season there?
Not when I went.
When's panther season?
I don't know if they have one.
That was an amazing follow-up question. That when's panther season?
Just so I know to not go
like
there.
The fucking
I don't
moths
see one.
Or something.
I don't know.
Well, they hatch in February and they're all gone by December.
I think night time and we were looking in the day.
No.
Right, you need a night vision camera. What you're going to need for that, I think.
Yeah. It just needs to be near a panther.
Why?
When you're planning to go next year, just give me a quick ring and I'll take you through what you need to see, stuff in the dark and what you need. Your best. Right. I will look into the best chance of seeing a panther.
Right.
Nat will find out when panther season is before you book it.
I feel like, why would you want to see a panther at night? They'll kill you.
What the fucking? What sort of interview is this?
You'll put it out
when's
there.
Panther season, but why would you want to see a panther at night?
Because that will almost certainly kill you, right,
it's
Josh?
It's promoting a fucking play.
We don't know if a panther makes a cameo, do we?
It's pretty bloody hard to see a panther at night as well.
Do you know why you're here, Josh? Shall I tell you the secret why you're here?
Sure, reveal it to me.
Nat's booked you to be on this show, right, because she's stalking Adam Gillan.
I'm not. That's ridiculous.
Genuinely true.
You don't even know me.
I didn't know until you told me the story about you stalking him.
I hardly think it was
apparently,
stalking when implied
apparently
more than once.
He was at a train station late at night and Nat was there as well and she just went up to him and he looked like he was really scared that she was going to sit
this
with him all the way to London.
All incorrect. I went to go and see Benador Live that he's in Woking with my friend Clive, who's very good friends with Darren Listen.
Yeah. Right.
So he knows the cast and we were like, oh, okay, we went for a few drinks after the show, me and my friend Clive. We're on the platform and then we were like, he went, oh, that's Adam. And he goes, oh, because he was great in it. Absolutely great in it. And he said,
if he'd not been, would you not have
gone over to go and say hello to him, not me.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
So he went over there and Adam kind of looked terrified and was like, and I can understand why. He's obviously thinking, oh Jesus Christ, they're going to get on the same train as me and sit with me all the way home. So we were like, okay, bye. But then my friend Clive asked Darren, and he went, he's super shy. He's just always like that. He'll be nice, but he's a super shy guy. So
I think how I told this story made it sound better than that. I think by expanding on that story, you made it worse.
Well, not really, because it makes it more credible because he knows the creator. It's not like he's stalking him on a platform.
I've got an even better. This is related to me via Adam, and I hope I'm okay saying this. But so he did a show called Killer Joe at Trafalgar Studios a little while ago with Orlando Bloom in it.
Okay,
right? And after rehearsals, they're both at the pub. And guy walks past and goes, hey, stops Adam and goes, "You that guy from Benidorm?" And Adam goes, "Yeah, no, I am." And he goes, "Can I get a picture?" Adam's like, "Yeah, yeah, of course, you can have a picture." And so he nudges the guy sitting next to Adam and he goes, "Here, take a picture of me and the guy in Benidorm." And the guy that he nudged was Orlando Bloom.
That's brilliant.
That's great.
They're the
man
that you live for.
Yeah, that is.
When you're with someone who's like really famous, they're the moments you fucking. I have that with Vegas constantly.
Right.
If we're at the rugby together and that, I'm just waiting for just one person to know me from summit.
Yeah.
And it happened once where the pitch announcer at Anfield did it. The pitch announcer, it was at Anfield because they were playing a game of rugby at Anfield, came out afterwards and bypassed Johnny to me. And then he went, "Oh God, and Johnny Vegas went." He went, "Two of my favourite performers." And I was like, "Oh yeah, fuck you." They're the moments. The rest of it's just standing to one side. I actually did a thing the other night. I was with Vegas the night at the rugby and a lady... and did an audition for him.
What do you mean?
It was horrible.
Audition for what?
God.
For nothing.
Oh God.
A mate just came over and said she can sing really well. And Johnny went, "Go on then." And she went, "What, just sing for you now?" And he went, "Yeah, go on then." And she proper did it.
Did she sang. Good?
It was horrible.
Oh,
good? No.
I don't know if she was good or not. I filmed it.
What did she think she was auditioning for?
I don't know.
What did she sing?
Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Wow.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Where does she think you filming it's going to go?
She didn't know I was filming it.
Oh, okay.
I was filming myself with it over my shoulder.
Just kind of,
I'll show you later.
Jesus.
Incredible.
Should promote your thing for a bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's called Radio. That's as much as I know.
Great.
It opens today.
The gimme these, right? You'll see it. It's just unthumbed. Yeah.
That's what called a press. It doesn't even know the name. It's a press release. That's what the gimme these thing.
The gimme this thing was got all writing on it.
Paper with stuff
paper.
On it.
It's a waste
all
of paper.
Well, I say it's for every guest. Why do I need that when I've got that?
That's a very good point, actually.
I've got him here, so that's what an interview is.
A lot
isn't
of the
it?
Time, you can sell it a lot better than what's on the page.
Yeah,
true.
We sit, we get some. I'm not ready, but we get some awful press releases.
Well,
if I just read the press release,
yeah, you do. If you want. Are you a performer as well?
No, I'm just a director.
Why?
Because
it's a good question to start off with, isn't it? Why are you a director?
So I acted a bit at university.
I see. Now we get to it.
And then you get to a point where to be a really good actor, you have to like give over to other people's ideas quite a lot. And I'm not that good at doing that.
Dreadful, isn't it?
So I decided I didn't really want to be told what to do, so I'll tell other people what to do instead.
Yeah.
And that was the basic decision.
So it comes from quite a bad, dark place in you.
Yeah, definitely.
I thoroughly relate to it. How does one become a director?
Basically through a sort of assortment of black magic and effort. So it's sort of...
I'll give you as much time as you want to evade the question, but I will come back to the question.
It's a weird thing. Like, obviously, if you want to do it, it's a weird sort of addiction. So by the time you've decided to do it, it sort of takes over your whole life and you just kind of sacrifice a load of other stuff to try and get it done. But there's a bit like acting. There's so many people who want to do it and there's so few jobs that it becomes a bit of a, like... find any way to kind of put things together and work it out. So there isn't any, like, there isn't a course you can do or
anything.
Well, any
that's a bit, you don't get auditions to be a director, do you? Like,
no.
If you want to be an actor, you go, okay, well, get, what's it called, PCR, if that's still a thing. Or, you know, you go to castings, get yourself an agent, all that sort of business. And so you have a route to go to that, show them you, do that, and you might get that. That you know, that's how it works. But with directing, it's just like...
Yeah, with directing, it's more like you go
just
to...
nepotism, isn't it?
Yeah, you go to person ultimately. A, try to marry their daughter, and see if, and then it just goes on from there. No, you kind of go to person A with an idea, you go back to person B for a little... to an idea. If A says yes and B says yes, you go to person C and say, there's three of us. You know, and it goes on like that, and trying to, you know, venues and money and actors and so on. So they kind of package together in quite a way. But this one, Radio, happened quite quickly, actually, because it's being produced by Audible. And so it's going out on Audible as well as being a stage show.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So you can, you can listen to it on the app and you can see it in the flesh, which is great.
Have you got a code to have Audible for free?
No.
Will they be listening to this to check on the PR and stuff? Can you get them to send me a code? Because here's the thing, right? Every now and again, I enjoy listening to an audiobook. Every now and again.
Yeah,
if I've got a long drive, I sometimes will do that. Or podcasts, whatever. I don't really listen to podcasts much, but I'd favour Audible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very expensive. It's like it's probably good value if you listen to them a lot. So it's $7.99 a month, I believe, Audible. See, Audible, I'm doing an advert for you. $7.99 a month on Audible. And you can listen as much as you want.
Right.
But I wouldn't do that. It's like, I don't use Netflix.
Can you do the opt-in? Because you can do that with Now TV and go, I'll just have it for a month. and then I'll listen or watch whatever I want, and then I'll
could
cancel
I do that
it.
If I had also, one month could I just download everything.
You do that with
this
Now
is
TV,
you see yeah. where we're at. This is why it's such a secret weapon, this, because your average podcast 45 yeah. to an hour, right?
Yeah.
Your average Dickens many many days.
Yeah.
This 90 minutes, which
so
is
it's
actually
bang
on, and it's a whole story in 90 minutes as well. So what I would say is
it's cheap.
Pay for it and listen to more of this.
How much is it? How much would it be just buy on its own?
I don't know. To buy the show itself on its own.
Tickets
I don't know.
Are 15 to 22 quid. So it's cheaper than that by listening to it. On
I
Audible.
Think if you buy there a you ticket for it and you go, you should get the download anyway. That's what I think.
I'll take it back to the producers.
Well.
No, that'll get people through the door. Yeah. That'd be a thing of going, right, if you've actually been to see the live show, you get the audiobook, or other people go, oh, you can just have the audiobook and pay for that if you want, but then you won't have the experience of seeing it live, which is obviously going to be ultimately better because it's a live thing that's happening there in front of your eyes, rather than a recording. If it goes wrong, it's not going to get put out as a recording. So go there in case it goes wrong.
In case Adam Gillan completely fucks it up. Yeah.
In case Nat goes to the show, sits at the front, and Adam Gillan's halfway through the show and just spots him, because that's that fucking lunatic from that station
I
that
don't
time.
Think he's probably never been back to Woking.
I feel like we've got away from me getting free Audible.
Oh, okay, yes, so free Audible for you.
Do you know what I got recently? Audiobook, Mortimer and Whitehouse's Gone Fishing.
Oh, the fishing,
book.
Yes. But I haven't seen really it. Really brilliant. It's supposed to be great.
Oh, the show's amazing, but the audiobook's really, really good. Because it's not, they're just not reading the book, they just don't bother.
Oh, fair enough, okay.
So they start it and they try and read
is
bits
of it.
Is that
on Audible? Oh, you will listen to it. I was going to say, you could have a listen to other stuff when you're paying your $7.99 for the month to listen to radio.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got it on my phone.
Nah.
Great.
So that's that.
Why don't I, in the break, have a look at other things on Audible you could listen to?
Why don't we ask the person who's being interviewed what their show's about?
Okay, good.
But yeah, keep mentioning Audible.
I will, and I'll have a look what else you
I think Audible are my provider of choice for that
I
sort of stuff.
I think they're my favourite thing ever.
But I think if this week goes by and I don't get a discount code, and bear in mind it is my birthday and it's Nat's birthday as well.
True, yeah,
if I don't
true.
Get Audible for free, because Amazon did that, they gave it us free, didn't they?
They did. Now TV did that actually. Gave me a free month. Yeah.
You've invited the wrong person into the studio to give you free Audible. Keep trying. I mean, I'm totally behind
you
it.
You said he would know.
Yeah,
he would have a code.
I was told this, Josh.
Yeah.
One thing to know about Panthers. And codes for Audible. It's and so far, it's not really happening, is it?
Also, Nat wants someone to stay within Kenya. You've got any friends that live
there? Yeah, because I want to go in Panther season. I want to go to see some Panthers.
My friends moved back and I don't have a code, so...
Well, thanks for coming in, Josh. Yeah.
So
nice to see you.
I now don't care about your play.
Well, it starts today. Opens today.
Okay. He nearly corrected you then.
I know.
Then he remembered that it's a week ahead.
Oh, yeah. And it's on until the 13th of July.
It opens on Wednesday, actually.
Oh,
not the 24th of June then.
No.
What day then?
Oh, I've
opens,
got it.
Opens on the 19th of June. Ah, well, there's
it's
a press night.
Last Wednesday.
It's a press night on the 24th of June. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. I see.
What's it about? Is it about radio?
Yes, to an extent. It's about the space race, basically.
Okay.
It's about a guy who gets born in 1950 in the middle of the century and in the middle of America in Kansas. And like all of the kids in the 50s, he wants to be an astronaut. And so he grows up wanting to sort of becomes astronaut, and then halfway through, when he's about in about like 56, 57, I can't remember what it was, Alaska gets added to the. So now he doesn't live in the middle of the United States anymore.
Right. Okay.
So his family moved to the new center because they've built their business on selling the fact that they're at the center of
Central America. Is it a true story?
No, it's made with the writer. And so, and his dreams of becoming an astronaut, and it's kind of changed as he grows older as well, and he's about 18 at like 1968 69
right.
So just at the beginning, at the point where like all that American optimism begins to turn, and like it's all about the fact that because this is the 50th anniversary of the moon landings this year, and like the moment, you know, the same year that Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, Nixon went into the White House.
Yep.
And so it's about the kind of duality of all of the hope and optimism of America, and then the amazing stuff that creates. Like there's a thing. The first contract for the first ever digital computer was 61,
right?
And it flew people to the moon in 69.
Wow!
And it's like the amazing sort of ability to do that, and at the same time, where that converts into all of this crap. That yeah, it's like again, and the contemporary relevance. You've got the same electorate that voted for Obama.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone here going, he'll never get in, they'll never elect a black guy, it'll never happen. And then when Trump came along, went, they'll never elect him,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, broke through on both sides. We didn't expect either of it.
And that, you're right, that duality exists today, doesn't it? Because you could see, so even speaking, when I spoke before to Stacey, mm-hmm. of the development in, you know, how people are more able to accept different cultures and diversities within sexuality and all that sort of stuff, that whilst that progress is going on, there's also, I mean, like, this is recorded a week ago, so watching like that Tory leadership thing last night, yes, it's like, and yet there's still this sort of like Dark Ages stuff. Do you know what? I chatted to a friend of mine recently about Catholicism, who, and a friend of my friend was a teacher at a Catholic school and wouldn't move in with his missus because they weren't married,
right,
because it would genuinely threaten his job. And I went, really? Would that really still? And he went on, that would really still be a thing. That if the parents found out, they'd be up in arms about it, that he was living, quote unquote, in sin. And you sort of think, God, there's this sort of, I was really shocked by it, because I was like, that level of just no development still exists and it's still going on at the same time as something else. So you're right, when, you know, Nixon, the space race and Nixon simultaneously, it is mental. You know, and so corrupt and all that going on, and yet there's this huge technological development happening at the same time, which shouldn't be able to coexist. Well, ultimately couldn't.
And it's like, it's all across, I think it's all across American history in the world as well, like in the sense that it's a country founded by like hopeful immigrants, and yet also based on a genocide of all the people that were originally there. You know, in
And then let no one in.
Yeah,
we're here now, right? No one else. That's it. It's ours now.
And like, there's all this faith in enterprise of like, you can go out there and make a million and be who you want to be, to which is now converted into, if you're a millionaire, you must have got it by noble means, because like, the money equates to the being good somehow. And so it's like, it's just the, it's a play about the DNA of America, really, told in this really personal story about just how those two things can exist alongside each other.
And how do you find, is it the Alcoa, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you find, like, I'm sure you've had some, you've had stuff before that you've done, and how is it something that's very, I guess, British-centric, you know, to be live stuff in London and that, when it's about another culture completely? Audience-wise, does it tend to be people from the States who are over it, or does it tend to be Brits looking at the States? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Okay. It tends to be Brits looking at the States.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I did a show at the Young Vic called My Name is Rachel Corrie, which is about was about an American activist pro-Palestinian activist in the Israel-Palestine conflict, who got killed in 2003. And yeah, and it's just about, it's usually about British audiences looking at that other culture in whatever context. And I mean, that's why I quite like making shows that aren't just about, there's a great tendency at the moment that, you know, you only make shows about who you are, right? And it becomes, and you only make things about who you are, but actually, like, the process of it is you look over at those people and you go, see, they're not that much different to you. I mean, like, the duality in Brexit, I don't want to mention the B word, I'm sorry, but it's exactly the same, you know, like, the pride, the national pride of 2012, aren't we all brilliantly British and isn't everything great? And then you look now, and if you, it's just not quite the same pride and optimism about the country.
I don't think I could go and see a play about Brexit.
Because?
Like, do you know what I mean? I don't think I could.
Why?
Yeah. I wouldn't want
to
make it.
I don't need to see a play about Brexit. The play is happening.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're and in the middle of the play now.
It's still ongoing, and we don't know what's, we don't know what the ending is going to be yet.
I guess there is some element of, I mean, I guess escapism to a degree, but if it's over something that can end up being quite a weighty issue as well.
Yeah.
It's
piling on the shit, isn't it? Your life's shit already. Come and look at how some other people's lives are shit and all.
Yeah.
But what's your approach to direct that? Does it tend to be stuff, though? I know you said about the difference between making stuff that's about what you know and what you are.
Yeah.
But ultimately, as a director, your opinion comes into that. So if it's something you've learned about, which I presume you have.
Yeah. I read a book, yeah.
I presume you don't just walk in and go, right, apparently there was a rocket that went to the moon, right?
His name was Neil.
Some bloke called Neil or something. And then there was Nixon. I don't know who that is, but but I think he was the king of America or something. You know, you find out about it. So is it stuff you already know about yourself, or is it stuff that you then learn at the same time as the production?
It's kind of a mix of both, really. Most of the projects that you get off the ground are about your interest. So, for example, with My Name is Rachel Corrie, I was really interested in activism and in, like, how activism changes activists. Because you go on your first march and you might not do anything necessarily to affect the thing, but you inspire yourself about the fact that you can do something. but was pretty ignorant about Israel-Palestine.
Yeah.
Similarly with radio, I was really, really interested in America, politically, in the contemporary politics in America, but was fairly ignorant about Apollo and the space race. But,
okay.
You know, the writer came from the other way here. The writer's dad actually worked for NASA.
Right.
And, like, picked where they landed on the moon and stuff like that. So he came to it from the space bit, and I came to
it from
the
politics. How did he do that on a moon map?
Well, there was this whole
thing. You go down to NASA and say, I've got a moon map. I'm going to pick where we're going to land. You'll fucking land where you land.
Go for that big crater. They almost didn't land. They almost bugged it up as well. But
Doing my head in. But I always pretend that I think that they didn't, because I know it annoys people.
They thought that when he stepped off, he might just go through like a mile of dust, because it might just be dust.
Now, that would have been horrible for Neil Armstrong, but. Yeah. I think we'd be far enough away from it now that we could all have a good laugh about that. Yeah. Like, if that had happened, I think we're far enough away from it now.
Yeah.
Where it could be, do you remember when he said, one small step and then fell for an hour?
Yeah,
that would be very good.
Yeah, imagine if it was... No, but it wouldn't have done, because it landed on it.
Yeah.
That's true.
So the fact it landed on it, we'll go, right, off. Fine, this is solid, relatively solid. I'd love that. How brilliant would that? But do you know what? I think Neil Armstrong himself probably wouldn't have minded that.
If he fell off the moon.
If he was just missing on the moon to this day. If he just fell into the moon, inside it.
Just somewhere still inside the moon.
And everyone would look at his family and stuff would have to look at it every night going, he's in the middle of that.
Literally the man in the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, Neil.
Neil! That doesn't get referenced enough, does it not? No. That the first man on the moon was called Neil.
Which is why not everyone goes Neil Armstrong. Really, like, they don't separate the two words.
Like Neil Armstrong. You know Neil. I mate Neil. Oh, you know Neil, the one off the moon.
I've never thought about it until you just said, but yeah, Neil.
Yeah.
Then they should pick the first man on Mars very carefully, because if it was like Neil and Norman or something, you know.
Norman!
Could be quite bad.
I want it to be, with respect to my colleague, Barry. Barry.
The
first man on the Mars is called Barry.
It's like, do you remember that guy who used to throw himself out of that balloon really, really high? And his name was Felix Baumgartner.
No, what is that? I don't know what that is.
He used to go really, really high, and he's got the longest free fall skydive thing. And he basically goes into space on a helium balloon, jumps out. Right.
With a parachute?
Yeah, and then he opens it really late.
No, some people,
parachute.
Trampoline.
No, that's the thing. No, people do it without a parachute sometimes. Like, they do big dives because there's a way of doing it when you have like a wind suit and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and people go higher and higher and higher with that.
No, this one was just like from the top.
Right.
All the way down.
From the top of the universe.
I want to go to the top.
Yeah.
His name was Felix Baumgartner, which is the kind
that's
of
fine.
Name. That's
yeah.
what you want
yeah,
that person to be
name.
Called.
Your name, if you do those things, should sound like somebody's made it up for a book.
Yep.
Yeah.
That should be the rule.
Definitely.
So are we all in agreement that we write Neil Armstrong out of history?
Yeah.
Yes.
Never mention him again.
Never happened.
Barry, this is a guy I work with, Barry, on this podcast thing, met Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, yeah.
Once, why? Right? Where?
At some convention or something.
Okay.
Right? And the pictures of Barry with Buzz Aldrin are amazing because you've never seen someone look less like they want to meet someone than Buzz Aldrin.
Okay.
he looks proper like, what?
Oh,
like that. But it was a settle, you know, I think I presume he paid for it to go and meet him, but it was proper like.
But he didn't set him up to say, look, like you don't want to be in this
photo.
He
looks really grumpy.
Oh.
He looks like he hates himself for doing that.
He punched a guy in the face once who said it was a fake.
Eventually he did that.
Yeah.
So he didn't just do it randomly
one day. No.
This was somebody who had badged him for a long time and he eventually lost his rack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
And just smacked him.
Asked him to swear on a Bible that he
and
he just lamped him in the face.
But isn't that a weird way of saying it as well? It's like, you could bring a Bible to me now, I'll swear on a Bible that I walked on the moon.
As if
that's proof.
Yeah.
As if that does anything.
It's going to hold up, is it?
Yeah. I think it's weird that they still use that in court.
Swear on the Bible.
Yeah, it's an odd thing.
That's a good name though, isn't it? Buzz Aldrin. Because that could be a made up name too. He should have been him.
Should have let him
not
out
about
first.
Neil, it should have been about Buzz.
I believe Buzz has the same opinion.
Yeah.
New idea. Well, I like this idea. Then I like that it's sort of being brought out across different media as well. Because I'm a big sort of fan of that. I think, do you know what I hate more than anything else in the theatre? And it's a thing that people in theatre often do hate even saying, is there's no record of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that really bothers me. People go, no, it's the theatre, so the theatre exists purely in the moment. It's like, well, it can still exist in the moment, but did no one think to just whack a video camera on this at any point? You know what I mean? And you think of such great productions. We mentioned Rocky Horror before. Imagine if you had a VHS or an old cine film of one of the theatre upstairs Rocky Horror performances. Mm. Yeah. It's lost to time, and now it's a legendary thing that people talk about that it happened. So I like things being recorded for posterity. I think it's a nice thing.
Yeah. It's really exciting as well, just to be able to, like, because obviously it's slightly different recording it in the studio and having the stage version, and like artistically it's slightly different. Like, you've got to do slightly different things and different tricks.
So is it recorded separately? It's not a recording of the live performance.
It's not a recording of the live performance. It's obviously we've rehearsed the live performance, and so that will be what he performs. But we're going to do it, just we're going to play around with it slightly. I mean, the words will be exactly the same, the performance will be exactly the same, but some of the elements that we're using in the stage would just mystify you if we did them in audio.
Then you should film it on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Here's what
you
should do. Here's the plan. Right, you film it on your phone one night during a live performance.
Yeah.
Like, do a few so you get a good one.
Yeah.
Right? And then, I'm not saying they won't all be good, I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I presume you have a critical directorial eye, so do a few.
Allegedly.
Yeah, right? Keep them in stock.
Yeah.
Then go to Audible and say, oh, is your audiobook selling? They'll be like, so, it's okay. Yeah, well, I've got a video of it. And they'll go, well, we can't release video, we're Audible. Go, yeah, well, I'm going to release it then. And then, like, start a thing. They'll be like, you can't. And then say, well, all right, I will consider sitting on this if you give Ian a free Audible code.
Right. So you can listen to stuff. It's a long game.
Get one for yourself as well. Get one for yourself as well.
Right, okay, if.
So say that. And then... best of both worlds then, because if you don't agree to it, you can just go ahead and release it yourself with your own new company that does live videos of things that you've just sneakily filmed.
Sure.
Or YouTube, as it's more commonly known.
Well, I guess what's great about that extortion strategy is that Audibles don't have many lawyers.
Yes.
So, like, it should be fine. Perfect. Do you know what I mean?
Because it seems like a lot of effort for you to get a free Audible account, to be honest.
I've got an even better idea now.
Yeah.
Why don't I, whilst he's doing all that...
Yeah.
I'll go and become the lawyer for Audible.
Ah.
And then that way, when they're going, oh, we're going to get our lawyers onto you, and then the door opens and they're going, yeah, problem.
Pincer movement.
Okay. And you go, no, I know him. And I'll go, yeah, I know him. Do as he says.
So just to clarify, all this is to save $7.99 for Audible. You're going to train to be a lawyer. Be the lawyer for Audible.
Don't be flippant. It's per month. It's not just, it's not just $7.99.
I see. Okay, my bad. Because training for a lawyer, that's a really cheap degree, isn't it? That's a really cheap...
Yeah. In 2 months, it's that makes it there. 16 quid, is it?
Quick as well.
Very quick. It's not going to take long. You can get that done in about 2 to 3 weeks, I think. Become a lawyer, can't you?
Read the book of the law, don't you?
I think you're all being very facetious. Because for all you all know, I might be a lawyer already. I've just kept it quiet.
Haven't mentioned it. There's no way you would have kept that quiet. Because I would have been getting a few summons myself.
I'd be a brilliant lawyer.
The world is full of secret lawyers.
Well, as we know, you'd lie.
Maybe I'm the secret barrister from that book. Maybe that's me.
Maybe.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Secret, innit? No, there's a book called The Secret Barrister. I'm sure.
Oh, right. No, I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
but you
said
on air that you'd swear on the Bible, which means you'd lie in court. They've already had that happen today, so... Yeah.
Maybe because I would do that, that's why I keep it quiet, that I am a fully trained up barrister, law bloke.
I can't be a lawyer because I once broke into Hampstead Ponds.
What, can you not be a lawyer if you've done a crime?
So I jumped over the fence with a mate of mine to just have a swim in Hampstead Ponds after hours. She's training to be a lawyer, right? We go for a swim, police turn up, give us one of those little purple tickety things and go, don't do that again.
Right.
I think, hilarious story, not a problem for me in my career.
Yeah.
Turns out she went through like 7 months trying to maintain that it was just me, her stupid friend who had done
really?
It.
Really? Oh, no. I guess it would compromise you if an opposing lawyer brought it up.
That's true.
No matter what you've done. It's
apparently you've got to be just like spotlessly clean, and jumping into a pond counts against you.
That's why I keep it quiet. That
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I've got loads of it. And it's a keyring from Forbidden Planet once.
There you go.
So that would have me struck off straight away, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right, it's petered out this interview, hasn't it? Josh Roche.
Roche.
Joshy, as I call you.
Yes.
The production opens at the Arcola Theatre on the 24th of June.
No, it opens on the 19th of June.
You should have corrected that.
There's some previews.
Yeah, but
press night's on the 24th. We've already gone through all of this.
I know we have, but there's no point in me saying it opens on the 19th when this goes out on the 24th.
Oh, yeah.
It opens tonight.
It opens tonight.
It's grand opening tonight.
God, I'm nervous.
And it runs until... That's brilliant. Oh, I am nervous because today is the 24th of June.
Thank you. Well done. That's good.
Runs until the 30th of July.
13th.
13th. Mm-hmm. Did I not say that? 30th, then? Did
you?
I really? That's how tired
said
30th, I am.
I thought you didn't you think you said that?
Yeah, I did a little bit.
I think sorry. I was trying to say 13th. Well, it might run to the 30th for
yeah,
all we know.
Yeah, it might happen.
Yeah.
Might
yeah.
get an extension.
Yeah.
And it will also be released as audio.
On Audible.
Yeah, you didn't say that on the thing.
Doesn't say
it?
That, no.
I don't know where it's going to be released, is it not? Thanks for coming in.
Not at all.
And best of luck with it. Thanks. I hope it goes well. Don't out of hand dismiss the idea of filming it yourself.
Okay.
And put it out on the sly. If you do decide to do that and there are legal implications, we'll have this file deleted.
Sure.
Because this would be incriminating in court.
Right, yeah. For you and, as well as the
and,
lawyer.
And
yeah.
none of us know a good lawyer, wink wink.
Oh, we might know one, we might know a good one.
Can I put a song on?
Yeah.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like sexes from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving niggas wrong, I do what they say I can't. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali. Virgo, Rari, hop up the stoop, jump in the coupe, picked up on top of the roof, flexing on bitches as hard as I can, eating halal, driving a Lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though, got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B, I run this shit like cardio. Diamond district in the chain.
Chambean pero no jalan. Tú compras todas las Jolambo, a mí me las regalan. I spend in the club, what you have in the bank. This is the new religion bank, el latino gang. Está toda servieta, pero es que en el closet tengo mucha grasa. Ya mudé la Gucci pa' dentro de casa. Cabrón, a ti no te conocen ni en plaza. El diablo me llama pero Jesucristo me abraza. Guerrero como Eddie, que viva la raza. Me gustan boricuas, me gustan cubana. Me gusta el acento de la colombiana. Como me ve el culo la dominicana. Lo rico que me chinga la venezolana. Andamos activos, perico, pim, pim. Billetes de 100 en el maletín. Que retumbe el bajo y Valentín, yeah. Aquí prohibido mal, dile Charitín. Que per pico le tengo claritín. Yo llego a la disco y se forma el motín.
Diamond District in the chat.
Celia Cruz, tengo el azúcar. Tú que va medio y se fue de pecho como Ginny Luca. Te vamos a tumbar la peluca y arranca pa'l carajo, cabrón, que a ti no te va a pasar la boca. Mi tía y Valenciaga me reciben en la entrada. Pa 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 para, sí, like I'm Lady Gaga. Y no te me hagas, que en cover de Billboard tú has visto mi cara, no salgo de tu mente, donde quiera que viajes, has escuchado mi gente. Ya no soy high, soy como el testa rosa, soy el que se la vive y también el que la goza. Goza, goza, es la cosa, mami es la cosa, goza, el goza. Que mira sufre y el que toca goza, 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 goza.
I said I like it like that.
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 Diamond District in the chain. Certified, you know I'm gang. Drop the top and blow the brain. Oh, he's so handsome, what's his name?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio, home of the double play. And of course, in the second hour of the show, our double play is Cardi B, which you've just heard, which is always followed by friend of the show, Chico.
So good, I can't remember back. My inner clock is ticking and the backbeat drives me mad. It's erotic, exotic, hypnotic, that's for sure. I put a smile on your face and take you to a place you've never been before.
Bounce it out for everyone.
Let it all hang out. I'm gonna scream and shout. Don't you wanna get out of line? Everybody say, what time is it? It's Chico time. Well, you can get delirious. You take life too serious.
It's Chico time.
You can get delirious. You take life too serious. It's Chico time. Woo! I get up in the song. You can't do nothing wrong. In front of a mirror like there's a body going on. If you want it, you got it. Go get it, baby, can't you see? Don't fantasize, just realize. Be happy to be free. Let it all hang out. I'm gonna scream and shout. Don't you wanna get out of line? Everybody say, what time is it? It's Chico time.
That's enough. But Chico, that's enough.
Friend of the show, Chico.
That's enough now, I think. We gave it a 2-3 week grace for having Chico in the studio. We've played a stupid song.
It's not stupid, it's nice.
I think that's enough of that. He said himself it was rubbish.
I thought it was called Tickle. It's Tickle Time. I was rather like it. I thought it was called Tickle Time. And I was sitting here and I was about, and that's the sort of thing. I'll go out singing that
it's
now.
Tickle Time.
It's Tickle Time.
We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. Yeah, so you thought
she's
Chico
about to fall
time
off her chair.
Well, you have come in like a sort of a whirling dervish, haven't you?
And I'm fanning myself with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
I don't know how he'd feel about that.
You've not to drink
I'm
over.
I'm okay with that.
You were right with that,
yeah,
right, darling?
Nice to
and apparently you've not to drink over already.
Yeah, was
that? Yes, I have.
In the other room.
Yes, water.
You nearly fell off your chair.
Yeah. Yes, and there's still a danger of that because I guess I'm very physical.
Good.
Did you know what I mean? I get very excited.
Yeah.
And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you, can I ask you?
You can ask me,
would
and I can
it?
Tell you because I can't hide it, can I?
What do you mean?
Well, you can't because everybody knows how old you are.
38.
Because of all the social. This is radio.
38-ish.
Oh, you're darling.
Around 38.
I love your hair.
About my age.
Yeah, right.
I love your hair too.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be?
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes?
Yeah. No, I do. No, I'm like, I wouldn't have any.
I just missed my mouth then. Maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually. Would there be a lot of looking after you that having to go on? Would have to like.
No, you seem very capable. No, I don't. You mean this is a woman who never got married?
Did you?
I don't need looking after.
No.
I always kept my own apartment, flat, whatever we want to call it these days.
Yeah.
You know, brought up children.
Yeah.
And I'm not needy at all. In fact, quite the reverse.
Okay. It's going well so far.
Yeah. You know, but there are little areas where I'm quite needy.
All right, let's
see. But we'll talk about that later.
Where are you needy? Where are you needy? No, we'll talk about it right now. Where are you?
What time is it?
Chico time.
Chico time. It's tickle time.
No, tickle time. I need tickle time.
I do you know what? Increasingly, as I've got older myself, I now, I think, adhere to the idea that I wish to live alone, that I wish to have a place of my own. That I don't necessarily want to share my domain in that, as I have done previously in my life.
Well, you know, I'm very, very full on. I mean, I have like hyper energy. I mean, it's actually quite, it's demented energy.
Okay.
So when I stop and I'm sort of aware, because I love people, I love everything. Okay. You know, I'm one of those.
Yeah.
And so when I stop, I need that moment just to sort of breathe and just kind of let the world around me happen without me being involved in it. And I make things and I love doing things. Mm. And I like that moment in a city. So I'm not talking peace and quiet. Once I see too many trees, I start to have a panic attack.
No, you can't come to my house.
Don't take me. Oh, no, darling, I can't do country.
Middle of a wood, mate.
I go out and do my riding.
Right.
And I mean, you know, I've toured right across Australia. I've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I like the noise of the city. I like the buzz of the city. I get very excited. I want it all around me.
That's where we're now incompatible.
But you're not going to live together, though. So what the thing is, she could come and visit you, come and visit her.
I'll come and do my horse riding and my nature trip, because I collect things.
There's loads of places you can go horse riding.
Well, you see, that's... Yeah, and it is. Because you know that thing when you come home and the first thing you're... partner says to you is, how was your day? And you think, when it's funny, I'll tell you.
I don't want that question. Do you know why I don't like that question? I don't like, how are you?
Yes.
I don't like that question. I don't like, what did you do today? Anything like that. Because I literally have a moment in my head where going, I've just lived it. I don't want to relive it.
It's like, you know, when, you know, I don't tell people when things aren't good for me. That's when I need to go and take my own little place. And just quietly, because otherwise you're just constantly going over things that are troubling you. It doesn't. But I would be happy to listen to everybody else, you know. And having lived with children and teenagers for years and years, I mean, quite frankly, it's quite nice to have your home to go to. It's that space, and we're not all meant to be with somebody forever.
No.
We kind of feel guilty if we're not, you know, and and
I think anybody is. You know, you say we're not all meant to be. Do you think anybody is actually?
But the same person forever.
Yeah.
Some people are able to make that choice and are very comfortable with it, as indeed some animals.
But it would be a choice, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be a naturally occurring thing necessarily.
Well, you know, we look at why we were put together, you know, why marriage came into being. And it came into being. That's the dog barking.
Okay, that's fine.
this is the first time I'm aware of a dog, so I was like, is it? Oh,
it's very small, and, and obviously the drugs haven't kicked in.
Is this your a dog in a bag?
Yes.
Where is the dog? She's holding up a very small handbag.
It's a very small dog.
My entire life is in there, darling. Not just my dog, my children, my. Keeping it small. but yeah, I think, you know, it was put together so that, you know, you've got two parents for children. There are all sorts of social reasons that we were put in, churches put us together and so on and so forth. And that's another thing, you know, I always said, all my partners, my ex-partners, are all my best friends.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I think that kind of life has worked for me. I don't say everybody has to do it. My parents were really good together, but my father was away a lot.
Yeah.
And they were very, you know, I always thought when you and me become an us, that's where the problem begins.
Okay.
Because we have to, if you can accept your partner's growth and changes, because we're going to keep going through changes. Mm. And sometimes we want to change a partner. We think, oh, yeah, you'll be great when I'm finished with you.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yes, that's true.
I wish I had a surgeon like that, darling. You'll be great when I'm finished with your face, Manning.
No, but it's the thing. But you're rather overwhelming, though. You know, and don't say it as an insult at all. I almost then said, for your age, and I didn't mean that at all.
Well, you can say it, darling, because I don't have all this sensitivity stuff.
No, but I don't mean that.
You can call me miss. You know what? You can call me miss. I'm happy.
Well, I'm going to. I'm going to do
it. I'm quite proud of it, actually. I don't want to be a
miss.
Well, no, but you're always like, have you always been this kind of hyper?
I think no.
It's not an objectionable hyper.
No. It is hyper, though. I know I'm hyper. You know, when, you know, my children say, Mummy, dog's still awake.
Talking about your
children. Quiet. Honestly, feeding time.
They're out of the bag.
Right, now you just sit and behave yourself. Honestly, no. That training school didn't work, did it? wait till the children can start
get,
talking
can
to
we
me.
Can we have some more bonkers guests in the future?
Is there a dog here, or is your phone making a dog noise?
It's a dog. My phone dog. Makes
oh,
a dog.
Oh, don't ruin it.
That's what it is.
It's radio.
I'm sorry.
I thought that too.
We could have carried on
I
thinking it was
a
real
dog.
Dog.
Well, I wanted to, but I thought, no, let that one go. They already think I'm nuts. I grew up, and I know this is weird, but because nobody knew I couldn't see,
right.
I grew up in this really weird, very insular little world.
Okay.
And all I could do was hear.
Right.
And do voices.
Okay.
So...
Why could you not say?
Sing.
Oh, sing,
see,
did you
I
say?
Thought you said see as well.
I think
I did say see.
See? Why could you not say?
See. Oh, okay. S-E-E.
E.
E?
Yeah.
Oh, goody, do I get a prize?
Have a co-op seat.
So what was the issue with your sight?
Well, I'm not allowed to drive, which okay. is why there are more people walking around the street.
yeah, they tell you it's because you're right.
And I have no periphery, so I don't know if people are at the side.
Oh, okay.
I've got several astigmatisms, and I'm very, very myopic.
Right.
But, of course, children work very closely when you see them doing things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really till... We got to school, and I was really weird because okay. I mean I didn't know who was my friend that I'd made that day because I couldn't recognize. And so I grew up in this very little world where it was sound, color, that I lived with.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we got the first television, and we were one of the first people to get a TV.
Right? Yeah. And you still showed off our internet.
And Daddy said, "Ooh, look what we've got, darling." And I'm walking around going, I can't see anything we've got. Because I knew all the blurs.
Yeah.
And so Daddy put the television on. I think Liberace was on at the time. That should have stopped me ever wanting to see it, shouldn't it? No, I'm sorry. I'm so flippant. I get in trouble for my children for
being flippant.
I don't
think he'll complain.
No,
it's
I think
all right.
He's all right.
Well, you
okay.
never know, honey. Do we know? No. and of course I pressed my nose against the screen
right.
and my father said, "Amy dear, I think I've found out what's wrong with the child. I think she can't see."
Wow.
And so I grew up, and you know, when I went into television, they used to take my big thick, they used to have to tape my glasses behind my ears with
right.
sticky tape because they were so heavy that they used to fall off at the end of my nose.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just learned I'd had a whole different lifestyle. You know, it's like, I always tell this as a story that sort of tells you my world. I wrote a whole play about it, Not a Well Woman.
Okay.
And like, I'm driving along with my girlfriend, you see, and I said, "Stop the car." And she said, what is it? I said, go back. I said, "Those beautiful white flowers, darling, what are they?" And she said, "Plastic bags." And they were covering up the fruit on the tree.
Wow.
So my life, everybody and everything is beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know, like when you were doing Doctor Who, I could stand at the edge of a mountain and not feel any fear because I don't know how far I have to fall.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If you don't see fear, you can't feel it.
So how does how you are in real life, which is I presume what we're getting now, how does that coexist?
My real life, did you say real?
In real life.
In real
yeah,
life.
Real life, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just
well, this is real
with
life.
That.
Well, you're not playing a part. No, no I always find this interesting when you find someone who's as exuberant as you are, and then when they work as an actor, you've got to portray something potentially very different. So how is that reined in as an actor?
Well, that's why I act,
that's an
because
actor,
I can
yeah.
do all... You know, it's like people never imagine the stillness that I can produce
yeah,
physically.
Okay. Yeah,
you know, in... mind you, the moment I walk off the stage, I'm like, wah! But, you know, and the focus and the concentration and the discipline... and you don't actually see that when you meet me because I just get, I wake up excited and I go to bed excited and I won't
okay.
tell you what happens
how
in between.
How do you do that? I'd like to do that.
Well,
how does,
no, we
how?
Were talking earlier on. It's Nat's birthday today, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh!
We were saying
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Natalie.
I think that's
she hasn't got that birthday yet. She hasn't got
that birthday. It's my birthday in 3 days.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Ian, it's Ian.
When's your birthday?
October the 14th.
Oh,
happy birthday
off.
To
no,
you.
No.
Give it back. Give it back.
She can come back for that one.
No. We'll just go through all the, you know, now we don't have to send each other cards, do we?
That's kind of canny, you know. If that was deliberate, that'd be quite a clever thing to do.
Yeah, it was,
because you could
yeah.
go into a casting. You could actually go into a casting, very exuberant and full of life. And then when you actually do your audition, you do the part, that makes your concentration look even more intense. Do you know what I mean? You could show a huge difference.
Well, you see, that's the thing that people often see, meet me, and they say, oh, yeah, we know Katie. She's, you know, like this. But what you have to say is, you know, that's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not playing me.
Yeah.
If, you know, if I knew who I was, I wouldn't be an actress. I'd be an accountant or something, wouldn't I?
But it makes the difference all the more apparent. So you kind of look, you look even better as an actor because they're like, gosh, she really is inhabiting something completely different to what she actually is. Mm.
And also, I've got that thing, you know how I find it when I'm with my granddaughter, we get on so well. She's two and we really are so very much alike. Right. It's that thing of, I find everything every day, of course I have my issues in life. I have problems. We all do, you know, but I'm not a result of those. They are part of what we all have to go through in life. And especially now in this extremely difficult, I tweeted this morning, this difficult, troubled world where we have to, you know, we're trying to save the planet. We're trying to change things that are wrong. We can't, you know, is this true? Is this false? You know, our little brains are zooming around, you know, at 90 miles an hour. And it's really difficult life at the moment, you know. But we always have to remember life is a very serious business, but you have to have a spoonful of humor to get through it.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't mean you're dismissing it and so on and so forth. Mm. But with this kind of energy that I have, it's because I'm constantly learning new things. I want to learn new things. You know, and as you get older, you've got so much in there, you know, you know, that you have to get rid of a lot of stuff along the way. So I always think, you know, get rid of all those things in your life that you no longer need on board.
I think Twitter's one of them things. I know you said about tweeting then, but I think Twitter's one of those things.
But for you mean? Not for everyone.
Certainly for me.
See, I think if you tweet to encourage, you know, there's everybody out there. You've got plenty of people on Facebook or any social media who want to give you their opinions because that is all they are, you know, and they're often very angry opinions, you know, and I think if we start utilizing this world to encourage people and one of the things we mustn't lose, and with all the new technology that's coming along, and, you know, we're getting further and further away from communication with each other, one of the most important things we can do is touch and hug, because that really shows you appreciate somebody. And if we lose those senses that we need as human beings, we are screwed right royally. You know, we are forgetting how important we are to each other.
I agree, but I also think at the same time, I think she's trying to cop off with me. I think what's happened is I think Katie has come in the studio and she's like, oh, I'm going to tell him that the meaning of life is having a proper good old cuddle and everything, and then they'll do that at the end.
Don't you cuddle? You live in the country and you don't cuddle?
I'll cuddle a deer every now and again.
You wait till I get out of this studio, honey. You are going to get hugged within an inch of your life.
So this happens every show.
I'm known for my hugging.
Are you really? Are you genuinely?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, people actually, when I'm doing conventions and things, people sometimes just queue up for a Katie hug.
Yeah. I bet you rule those, eh? I bet you, I can imagine you at a convention being very much very popular member of that community.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Do you not know? I would imagine you would be, because I know, certainly my limited experience of conventions, I know that there are, I bet you privately we could name these people.
You've done one, though, haven't you?
I did one for Red Dwarf or something else.
Oh, did you? For Red Dwarf?
Yeah, it wasn't Doctor Who.
It wasn't that show. No. You didn't do the Doctor Who one.
A few people mentioned Doctor Who, but it was...
But you know, we have to remember, too, I think as an actress, note the S on the I, I think, you know, I'm all for the strength of women.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to get up and do it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need groups. We need to just do it.
Got to keep her in a place.
But I do quite like, you know, I'm quite happy being the female that I am.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't respect everybody else's wishes and desires.
But I think your exuberance and your joie de vivre, if you like, certainly would tie well with a convention where there are people there. You can see it in their eyes.
Well, fans are... Without them, there's no show.
No, that's true.
Because if nobody's watching, you know, then there is no show. And so therefore, I feel really, you know, I care about them because so many people watch television. This poor woman, I keep grabbing her hand.
Okay. I do that. Probably glad of the break.
I think we're copping off, to be honest.
Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, yeah, I'm ready, honey.
It's great.
I think it's you, Ian.
One of the few times I'm going to say, I hope the cameras are on.
But, you know, the thing is, you find out, and it's, you know, because I do really, really love people so much.
Yeah.
And everything. And you find out how many people's lives were changed when they were going through very, very troubled times.
Yeah.
And, you know, you feel very responsible and caring and loving, and you want to be respectful to those people and what they've been through. It's also in, you know, television shows, like whether it's Red Dwarf, Doctor, whatever you want to talk, have inspired people to go and do things in
there's
the business.
Very specific shows that do that, isn't there? Like, there are very specific shows, and there's no rhyme nor reason.
And
it's not sci-fi,
let's face it, right from, you know, I was like it unto a little sapling when it started with William Hartnell.
Yeah.
And that little sapling has grown and grown and grown and grown, because you have to keep changing to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep, you know, all the ones say, oh, I liked it how it was. Well, yes, you can watch it how it was,
yeah,
but
still
it must grow. Otherwise, yeah, we'd all our children would be.
Of course, yeah. Otherwise, no need to make any more, is there? Sorry, there. It already exists.
But, you know, also, you look at everybody who runs that show, whether you go back to Russell T. Davis, you know, you go to Stephen Moffat, you go back, Barry Letts in my day, were all people who were inspired to do what they do from the show.
Yeah.
And I think that love from where it is now is seeps right through to the footprint, you know, of where it all started. And the actors that come into it, you know, all of that, it's amazing how many performers, you know, are massive Doctor Who fans because they were touched and inspired by, as I say, and also people who were going through troubled times. And without those fans, we don't have a show, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
It's true,
you know?
Yeah.
Where,
everybody's now just tuned out and said, oh, was she going to be like that? That wasn't what we were up for.
No, we're pretty much out of time, and I don't want it to stop.
We'll have to come back in again.
Have you seen, like, I wanted to talk about John Pertwee, and I wanted to...
Because
that's amazing, that, to work with John Pertwee, and to, you know, to have been around him at that time, a role that he was so known for. And then Wurzel Gummidge, like, hey, have you seen the new pictures of Wurzel Gummidge, the new Wurzel Gummidge? Do you not think it's terrifying?
Yes.
Well,
but
the original
was, I read it as
me.
A child, because, you know, terrifying was different back then.
But I think there's something about it. Mackenzie, and I love Mackenzie to pieces, I really do. And I know Mackenzie's had a lot to do
Mackenzie
with the actual...
Crook, yeah,
Mackenzie Crook had a lot to do with the actual creation, you know, of the new show. But that image that came out of Mackenzie's... I think the original was terrifying. When I look at the original, that's scary too.
And it needs, but it's terrifying, but like something like Doctor Who, in a kind of okay way.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? You know that thing of really do want to go behind the sofa and just peek over the top.
But
you
Wurzel wasn't terrifying, though.
When those heads got switched around and things, you know, I mean...
But it wasn't a sinister character.
You know, a lot of people, John and I knew the book, so John was thrilled because he'd wanted to do it for years.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it a lot, you know, because I was one of the few people that could say, well, I read it
as a child. Yeah, I read it as a kid as well, yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of the books that people read later were much better when you were a kid, you know. And he wanted to do that for so long. And I think, once again, he can't do it now.
No.
So... I think Mackenzie Crook is a really good idea, and we can't judge something till we've seen it.
No, I'm sorry, I absolutely
agree.
And I think we're not seeing him perform or anything. No. We're on one image, and Mackenzie's like one of the best actors I've ever met.
He's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, he's
really such an interesting actor.
Hey, look, we're out.
Well, I'm sorry, darling.
No,
I know.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry at all.
It's been
oh god, yeah.
You two are
going to
have some special hugs.
It's been genuinely lovely meeting you.
Yeah, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to hug you.
Yeah, if you can let go of her for 5 minutes.
Oh, she's so lovely.
Thank you, Katie.
Where have you got that idea from?
Hey!
Listen, I'm instinctive, darling. I know a nice blur when I see one. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually the nicest thing. A nice blur. It's really nice.
You're a lovely blur.
Thank you
and we're
much,
both
Katie.
Doing a little animal print.
Oh, we love the animal print, yeah.
All I can remember is earlier on, Katie said, oh, I like your hair. And then she went on to tell me, and I'm blind, so I've got no idea if your hair's nice or not. It looks like it's a nice shape.
Yeah, but I know...
That's all
that counts. I come from that era, darling. Men with long hair make me very, very happy. There aren't many around at my age group.
I've got to finish the show. I've copping off. I'll be back next week, God willing.
No, you won't.
Even better.
Thanks a lot. We're going to do this show on the road.
Yes.
Let's go.
Thanks for joining us today. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much.
As well as Stacey. We shall see you again next week. Happy birthday, Nat.
Happy birthday.
I can't even say
happy birthday, me, on 27th.
No.
Yes.
No.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.